From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
First, NATO surrounded Russia with missile systems, and then dangerous biolabs. Now they are supplying depleted uranium munitions to Ukraine. Depleted uranium has been a deadly problem for decades. In the past 78 years, thousands of nuclear bombs have been detonated in tests, and thousands more have been stockpiled. These weapons of mass destruction require uranium-235, as does about 430 nuclear power plants. Uranium-235 has to be enriched from raw uranium ore, and depleted uranium is a byproduct of this enrichment process. The cost to properly manage and dispose of depleted uranium generated by just one enrichment plant is in the billions. And so NATO began dispersing this radioactive poison throughout the world in the form of weights, armor, and munitions. Its ability to explode on impact made it effective in piercing through armor. But upon impact, the uranium gets turned into fine dust. This fine dust lasts for lifetimes, getting more deadly over time. And so the dust that gets into the ground and into the water supply can poison all living things for decades to come. During the Gulf War, over a million shells of depleted uranium were fired. Hundreds of tons of fine dust uranium was dispersed throughout civilian areas in most of Iraq. As a result, Iraq is now suffering a massive sudden increase in birth defects and cancer.
We are seeing an absolute crisis of congenital malformations of newborn. There is one doctor, a pediatrician named Dr. Samira Alani, working on this crisis in the city. She's the only person there registering cases, and she's seeing horrific birth defects. I mean, these are extremely hard to look at. They're extremely hard to bear witness to, but it's something that we all need to pay attention to because of the amount of depleted uranium used by the U.S. military during both of their brutal attacks on the city of 2004, as well as other toxic munitions like white phosphorus, among other things.
Thousands of U.S. war veterans have breathed in this uranium dust, and thousands have suffered without help from the government. NATO has been dispersing this deadly poison via wars in the Middle East and in the Balkans, and dispersing it via military training at bases around the world, in Okinawa, Japan, Sardinia, Italy, Galloway, Scotland, and in Oahu and the Big Island of Hawaii. And everywhere that depleted uranium is planted, cancer and birth defects arise. Behaving like the biggest satanic death cult on Earth, NATO has poisoned the world with depleted uranium, and it's currently instigating a nuclear war with Russia. The U.S. government shows nothing but contempt for the American people. And as the fear of nuclear war rises, the U.S. government declassifies a 1960 U.S. Air Force training film on the deadly effects of a nuclear weapons attack, stoking the fear in America every way they can. NATO is now supplying Ukraine with depleted uranium munitions to fight the Russians. And last Saturday, in response, President Putin has announced that Russia will deploy tactical nuclear weapons in Belarus. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Wednesday, March 29th, 2023. I'm your host, Alex Jones. We're going to be live here for the next 4 hours out of the War Room with Owen Schroyer, 3 p.m. Central Standard Time today. Scott Ritter, one of the famous whistleblowers exposing what really happened in the Iraq war with the made-up WMDs, will be in studio with us coming up today in the third hour. Roger Stone will be on the last 45 minutes of the second hour, covering a lot of big political developments that are unfolding. Okay, I've had some time to go over S-686, the bill that has bipartisan support and looks like it's going to pass the Senate, unless there's a big uproar. in the name of countering Chinese AI, manipulating U.S. systems through TikTok, it gives the federal government and the disinformation board they've been setting up total surveillance over all devices in your home, including smart appliances. And yes, it's in the bill, and the left's trying to spin that it's not in the bill. 20 years in prison for, quote, disinformation. So you saw how the FBI coming out in the months before the 2020 election, you saw how they said, well, we believe the Hunter Biden thing may be Russian disinfo. And so even though they'd had it for a year and a half before that and knew it was real, they then reached out to big tech and had them censor millions of people, including members of Congress and the New York Post and others, so you couldn't talk about it, direct election meddling. Well, it says in the bill that for any reason, questioning elections, questioning lockdowns, questioning open borders, questioning Afghan withdrawals, questioning anything that they deem to be disinformation, they're going to go into your devices and shut off your computers, basically, and or put you in prison. $1 million fine, 20 years in prison. I mean, people were freaked out about the disinformation board who had that front lady that likes to sing Little Mermaid songs and stuff. She was just the front person for what's already there, set up decades ago, but expanded by Obama, left in government when Trump was in, and now, oh, you don't want to be surveilled, you don't want to be censored, you don't want to be controlled. How about we just codify it into the federal law under espionage that if you've got any app or any computer connection or anything to a computer anywhere in the world that we claim has a connection to any foreign government or espionage, no judge, no jury, just total control of everything. So this is the biggest power grab I've ever seen. They're going for broke with this, and I've got a lot of the subsections here. Look at this. VPN users risk 20 years in jail, sentences in the U.S. under new Restrict Act. TikTok ban may give government more power to control the internet and invade your privacy, according to new bill Restrict Act. It's all right there. I've got the subsections. Senate Bill 686, the act, the Restrict Act, wants to put you in jail for 20 years for using VPN or using a website or app that is operated by a foreign adversary. These are the foreign adversaries, by the way. Any excuse. And, of course, you have the Vault 7 documents released by Snowden, where the CIA and others are masters at spoofing your computer and taking control of your computer or claiming your computer, even though it didn't do it, faking your Internet ID, which you really already have, your location, and saying you did this. I mean, it's just absolutely insane, the level of the power grab. But that's where we are. They're building emergency medical camps all over the world for forced injections. It's just the dam has broken on this. But there's a lot of attention on this. We've got to stop this legislation. Let's go ahead and go to a very important report from John Bound that's at band.video. I hope you share this report. The TikTok ban is a smokescreen. Here it is.
In its short 6-year lifespan, Beijing-based company ByteDance's TikTok has surpassed Google.com with well over 2 billion downloads worldwide. From the outset, the Chinese algorithm source code had been collecting the habits and inner intent of every single user, building a psychological profile of each user while addicting them to content promoting self-harm by catering to their preferences and habits, most of them children.
The more time that middle and high schoolers spend on social media, the evidence is the more likely they are to experience depression and anxiety. And this is particularly troubling since apparently 16% of American teenagers report that they use TikTok, quote, almost constantly. That's, I think, about 5 million teenagers in this country that are on TikTok all the time.
Mr. Chu, your algorithms have prioritized providing harmful content directly to children, like self-harm challenges and even suicide. I know you know about the blackout challenge, which others may know as the choking challenge, that encourages children to bring them to the point of unconsciousness, or in some cases, tragically, death.
Larry, it's a, you gotta kill yourself.
And I'm gonna put a shotgun in my mouth and blow the brains out of the back of my head.
Cool.
In 2019, TikTok was hit with the largest civil penalty by the Federal Trade Commission in a children's privacy case. 4 years later, TikTok still has not taken sufficient action to fix the problems. I assume because child users are incredibly profitable to your bottom line. You know, TikTok could be designed to minimize the harm to kids, but a decision was made to aggressively addict kids in the name of profits.
Do you know how many children have died because of this? Do you have any idea? Can you tell me?
Congressman, again, it's heartbreaking.
Can you tell me if how many children in America have died because of challenges like this?
The majority of people who use our platform use it for positive experiences.
That's not what I ask you. Ask you, tell me the number of children, of U.S. children who have died because of these challenges.
Dangerous challenges are not allowed on our platform. If we find them, we will remove them. We take this very seriously.
Obviously, you found one today and you removed it. We had to bring it to your attention, and I know I'm out of time. Thank you for being here. Welcome again to the most bipartisan committee in Congress.
Lurking under the surface of the seemingly most bipartisan committee in Congress addressing the TikTok distraction lies communist-level legislation like the Restrict Act, for example, which authorizes the Secretary of Commerce to review and prohibit certain transactions between persons in the U.S. and foreign adversaries investigating tech products and services that could pose national security risks. The Restrict bill would allow any software, hardware, or any other product or service integral to the telecommunications products and services with over 1 million users to now be at the government's disposal to review, prosecute, and take possession of, including your home security system. The federal government could review all of your personal information without notification, banning any game, application, or anything they deem fit if it poses a risk. Those prosecuted under this legislation would find themselves facing up to 20 years in prison and or up to $1 million in fines if they were also using a VPN. This would be the final death knell to free speech on the internet.
We need a tool that is rules-based, that not only takes this current issue at hand, but also think about Chinese Communist Party-controlled artificial intelligence or quantum computing. Yeah. Or synthetic biology. We need a tool on a going forward basis, not just the kind of whack-a-mole one-off approach we've had so far.
Any fool still using the mass mind-controlling TikTok is merely a rat in a totalitarian cage, under the boot of a rabid hydra of propaganda growing in power as technocrats reach the coming singularity of artificial intelligence, sacrificing their personal data at the altar of the Communist Party and the global psyop eugenic engineers. John Bound reporting.
All right, we cover a lot of incredibly hardcore information here on the air. And the atmosphere is so intense that we tend, including myself, to become numb to it. So that when something particularly over the top unfolds, I just got chills. We just take it like it's the next big attack. This is not just the next attack. This is so insane that I'm having trouble even describing it. I could spend the next 4 or 5 hours just reading the bill, which we've done. And when you have all the knowledge about the globalists and what they've already set up, you see how it perfectly plugs in with AI, live time surveilling everything you do, every device, has nothing to do with TikTok. Total AI, police state takeover, run by the deep state and the left. Anything they list is disinformation. 20 years in prison, $1 million fine, espionage charges. So they use the threat of TikTok, which uses the same dopamine addiction systems as Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. If you remember, whistleblowers 10 years ago from Facebook came out and said, We wrote this to make people depressed and alone and addicted. And this is morally wrong. Yes, TikTok's way more sophisticated and even more evil than the weaponization of Facebook. But the globalists are just jealous of TikTok because it's become the dominant AI vacuum cleaner that scoops up all the intel. And then they use the threat of that for their total takeover. Hitler used the firebombing of the Capitol building in February 27th, 1933 to set up his dictatorship. He was the president of Germany, been elected. The chancellor stepped down and they merged the chancellery with the presidency and the Führer was born. So they used a burned up building. And the left just used January 6th the last 2 years as their Reichstag as well to name their political enemies terrorists. And all of that is child's play. All of that is chicken feed. All of that is not even on the Richter scale. Hitler firebombing his own Capitol building is like a 0.1, and this is a 10. They've got the AI already. They've got the systems that'll plug into everything in live time and track it all in live time. This is just unbelievable. So let me do the best job I can to start going over this. It's a bipartisan bill introduced by Senator Mark Warner and John Thune, co-sponsored by all the usual suspects, Richard Blumenthal, Lindsey Graham, all of them, Manchin, Mnuchin, and it's S-686. 20 years in prison if they say your computer in any way touched a foreign network that they say is adversarial to, quote, the U.S., and then it lists dozens of countries. When anybody knows you go online, you're being hit by hundreds of countries, thousands of corporations. It's just insane. But that's only part of it. Fully taking control of all devices, from satellites to satellite uplinks to local wireless networks to private networks to all of the smart gadgetry that they mandated in the last few decades be put in all major appliances. S-686 is closing the door on the prison they built. And again, the Restrict Act is not limited to just TikTok. It gives the government authority over all forms of communication, domestic or abroad, and grants powers to enforce any mitigation measure to address the risk to national security now in any potential future transaction. So any computerized transaction, they claim total jurisdictions, no judge, no juries, no warrants. This is, if the Patriot Act was driving 1 mile an hour, but tyranny-wise it was a million miles an hour, this is a quadrillion miles an hour. So let's start trying to go through the act. This is congress.gov. And there's lots of classic disinfo out there that, oh, don't worry, it's not for you. Don't worry, it's not really bad. Oh, don't listen to people. Don't look at the bill, though. Don't do your own research. Remember, the New York Times said that. Definition, section 2, classified national security information. The term classified national security information means information that has been determined pursuant to Executive Order 13526. That's anything they want. Section B, a foreign adversary, an entity subject to jurisdiction or organized under the laws of foreign adversary, and an entity owned, directed, or controlled by a person described in subparagraph A or B. The term concerning or covered transaction includes a current, past, or potential future transaction. So this is retroactively anything you ever did. It then cites the Patriot Act as its enabling clause, 42 U.S.C. 5195C. You got to go read this for yourself and all the countries they list. Anybody with a connection to China, all computers are touching China that aren't what they call off-grid. Any foreign government regime determined, and it goes, or anyone spreading disinformation determined to be spread by that entity. So it's not just your computer connected to one of these. If they say, oh, Hunter Biden's laptop's Russian This info, you go to jail 20 years because you talked about it. And it goes on and on and on. And it goes on to say, if you're holding a equity interest, a stock, a security, see, well, this isn't just computers, it's a share, a partnership interest. So let's say you buy some radios from China or you buy something else from, nope, you're a terrorist, a share, a partnership interest, an interest in a limited liability company. I mean, it's just a power grab over everything. It's like the Patriot Act taken to the next level and then again. Interfering or altering the result, a reported result of a federal election, then describes that as any info they deem as meddling in election, like Hunter Biden's laptop, or pointing out that the feds are censoring. You got to read this. Section 5, considerations. Number 1, information and communications technology, products or services used by a party to cover transaction. Software, hardware, any other product or services integral to telecommunications products and services, including wireless networks, mobile networks, satellite payloads, satellite operations control, cable access points, wireline access points, core networking systems, long, short, and backhaul networks, edge computer platforms. And then it just goes on to describe all the wire fraud you're engaged in and in criminal activity if your network even gets connected to. Number 6, software designed to use primarily for connecting. Folks, we'll get to criminal penalties when we come back. I mean, this is just 360 power grab. I mean, it's the holy grail of evil. S686 officially establishes Obama's Foreign Disinformation Countering Propaganda Board that he set up right before he left office in the federal government, officially establishes it as a Ministry of Truth, the disinformation board, to surveil in live time all devices, all computers, all satellites already hooked into the NSA to control and block information and throw you in prison whenever they want. And I'm reading the legislation. It says all computers, all devices, all systems, including systems not listed, internet hosting services, cloud-based distribution computing and data storage, software designed to use primarily for connecting with and communicating with the internet that is used by greater than 100,000 persons in the United States at any point during the year preceding that date, desktop applications, mobile applications, gaming applications, payment applications, web-based applications, artificial intelligence and machine learning, quantum key distribution, quantum communications, quantum computing, post-quantum cryptography, autonomous systems, advanced robotics, biotechnology, synthetic biology, computational biology, all e-commerce. I mean, folks, it's a giant bill. And it says that these federal boards advised by watchdog groups will say what's disinformation. It's for the disapproval of designation or removal of designation of foreign adversary, designations of foreign adversaries. And that's the outside excuse to do all this. And then it gets into criminal charges for anybody they want to go after. This is Section 11, penalties. Page after page of these. And it goes on and on. You got to read this. No person, whether directly or indirectly through any other person, may make false or misleading representation, statements, or circulation of any falsely or concealed material. In fact, and it goes on, which they call disinformation. You must not solicit anyone to share information. I mean, it just basically says everything's a crime. And it goes on to say in this section, F, no person may engage in any transaction to make any other action with intent to evade the provisions of this act, that's using a VPN, or any regulation, other direction, mitigation, measure, no encryption, prohibition, or other authorization or direct issued thereunder. G, no person may fail or refuse to comply with any reporting or record-keeping requirement of this act or any regulation or order or decision. So it's this endless bureaucracy. Number one, a fine of not more than $250,000 and the amount that is twice the value of the transaction that is the basis of the violation, respect to which the penalty is imposed, forever greater. In general, a person who willfully conspires to commit or aid or abets in the commission of an unlawful act described in the subsection shall upon conviction be fined not more than $1 million or if a natural person may be in prison for not more than 20 years or both. Section 2, civil forfeiture. So that doesn't go through the regular courts. Forfeiture in general. Any property, real or personal, tangible or intangible, use of the intended to be used in any manner to commit or facilitate a violation of attempted violations described in paragraph 1 shall be subject to forfeiture in the United States. Seizures and forfeitures under the subsequent shall be governed by the provisions of Chapter 46, Title 18, United States Code, relating to civil forfeiture. Forfeit to the United States. Total war. Just what the communists do when they take over. And ladies and gentlemen, that's just a synopsis. I've got the full bill right here, and I only read part of this. Nothing to do with TikTok, trying to legalize all the crimes, all the censorship, all the surveillance, all the election meddling, everything they've been doing, all the disinfo they've been put out, trying to codify it through the Patriot Act, declare us all foreign adversaries and terrorists if you use a VPN or more. And they go on to say, it's foreign disinformation, and that a board will decide what's foreign disinformation. So they consider you promoting foreign disinformation with no proof that it's from a foreign source because they wave a magic wand and say so. And you've already seen all this in action as a beta test in S-686, but this takes it to the next level. That's not just Alex Jones' analysis. Here it is. VPN users risk 20-year jail sentence in the U.S. under a new Restrict Act. By the way, the Restrict Act, a.k.a. the TikTok ban, also means access to your home networks and devices. There it all is in the legislation. This is just totally insane. And it's got definitions in here of what the goal is. It says anything that gets in the way of jobs is terror or is foreign. It's basically a definition of everything as criminal. One of the crimes is controlling holding. The term controlling holding means a holding with the power, whether direct or indirect, whether to exercise or not exercise, determine, direct, and decide important matters affecting an entity. And it goes on to say who the different groups are that will be sitting over this in the Department of Commerce. So to say this is weaponization of the internet against the American people is a extreme understatement. And mainline tech people are reading this, not just me, and saying they can't even believe it. This is beyond a bipartisan issue. This is a human rights issue. And they let the Trojan horse of TikTok in, and we agree it's bad. And then they use that as the pretext to declare everyone their enemies. They really are out to get us. They already give us poison shots. They already shipped the fentanyl in. They already dissolved our borders. I mean, we know they're out to get us, but you add this together with 87,000 new IRS agents targeting working poor. No judge, no juries, no warrants, no nothing. They just spy on everything you do, and they know you deposited $100 in your bank from a piece of furniture you sold your neighbor. It's designed to crush everybody, to drive us into total submission and to bankrupt us. We'll be covering more of this as it unfolds and discussing it and talking about it, but it's got bipartisan support, and they say right now it's set to pass. You see the whole corporate media on the side of this saying how great it is, protect our children. But TikTok is a feedback of who we've become, evil and corrupt. The reason the Chinese TikTok isn't one-tenth as evil is because they're communists, but their average population is not this satanic. So really, TikTok is a mirror of us looking into what we've become. This has nothing to do with TikTok. It has to do with a total and complete 360 power grab. All right, there's been a bunch of big developments with leftists calling for their day of rage on April 1st and celebrating violence because we won't accept the trans agenda having access to our children. We'll be right back. Stay with us. All right, Roger Stone. We're moving Roger Stone to tomorrow. He's happy to do that. Because I started thinking here, this bill, S-686, is too important, plus all the other news. We are going to have Scott Ritter in studio. So I'm going to open the phones up on two topics, the trans mafia and the media trying to spin this attack, and the left saying they're going to launch more attacks using their trans army, known as the Transformers, I guess, the transhumanist army, and S-686. But I want first-time callers so that engineers and software developers and IT specialists and network specialists can call in and give me your expert view and take on S-686. That establishes the Ministry of Truth, the new disinformation board, with total AI NSA control of everything and 20-year prison sentences for nothing. This is written that you could drive a universe through it. It is just wide open. So specifically on that topic, I'd like to hear from industry analysts, software engineers, IT specialists, network specialists, satellite operators. This affects everything. I'd like to hear from anybody in IT on that subject. Everybody's welcome to call in and comment on the trans mafia and that huge area and the rest of it. And then there's all this other stuff. Jim Jordan wants a criminal investigation of Fauci. That's wonderful. He also says that he could easily be put in prison. Jim Jordan says he's building a case for criminal referrals on Fauci. He also says it's criminal that the day Matt Taibbi testified, they sent an armed IRS agents to his house to bang on his door. I mean, it's total political harassment. Remember Lois Lerner? And you're like, that's classical tyranny. That's discrediting. That's over the top. That's crazy. Yeah. Letting convicted pedophiles have access to kids in schools and libraries, in many cases without parental consent, that's crazy too. It's all crazy. So we're going to take a ton. I've been getting really good at this. I was first on air 28 years ago, 29 years ago. I was really good at taking a lot of calls. Got kind of bad at it over the years. But now we got back to taking 20, 30, 40 calls an hour sometimes. So you don't have to sit there on hold very long. We're going to get to you on these two big giant topics and those topics alone, please. First-time callers, 877-789-2539, 877-789-ALEX. 877-789-2539 on this live Wednesday, March 29th. Global broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Let me just do this. Let me talk about this right now. and tell you about the state of InfoWars and just be completely honest with you about it. Because that's what I do. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Then we'll start the next hour and take your calls and get into all this news I haven't hit yet on the trans mafia that's so insane. I mean, so many posts, I can't even keep track of them. On Twitter alone, people like Mike Cernovich and Jack Posobiec and others have posted and chronicled just some of the threats, including by the governor's office of Arizona, who just stole the election, saying it's time for trans activists to pull guns on people and attack folks. So it's not like it's just internet crazies doing this. This is the governor's office officially doing this. We're going to get to all that because these people are spoiling for a fight. They're throwing a fit. They know they're losing. I use the analogy this morning to my wife about why the deep state's going so crazy against us and everybody else. And it's like the analogy is in the movie Blade Runner, the original, when Decker goes in to kill the last few replicants, Roy Batty and his girlfriend, Pris. When he shoots her, she throws like a 5-minute fit because she knows she's dead. She's mad. And it's the same thing. They're politically dead. We blew them away. They just want to take us with them. It's an allegory of Satan. He wants to take us with him as well. And they're his minions so that they have the same mindset. So all of this you see is their rage and their anger. And the left saying, hey, this man who was a woman who went and killed these people, it's your fault. You got killed. Those kids got killed. And thank God they're Christian kids. Those are quotes. They deserve to die. I'm going to show you all this information coming up. But let me talk about this. I've got a lot of questions about it from friends and family and crew. Here's the Washington Post, Bloomberg. They all ran the story days after they put out a bunch of disinfo. Alex Jones's firm wins key bankruptcy ruling in Sandy Hook case. There's a Current covering it, Bloomberg, all of them. Now, the reason that's important is this. In the articles, they go, despite owing $1.5 million, the court says Jones is a small business. Well, that's because we don't have that money. We don't have $10 million. But there's this thing of, oh, Jones is getting out of paying the $1.5 million. What the hell are you talking about? All of it's lies, ladies and gentlemen. And you're going to see that. And that's why I went into bankruptcy, because we're out of money and it's going to prove everything. And that's why the media is so desperate to spin everything and act like we're hiding this or we're doing that when none of that's true either. And you've seen that over and over again. Remember just a few months ago, oh, I got $62 million last year. 100% made up. None of it true. Or Alex Jones gets $100,000 a month. Alex Jones pays at least that in all these lawsuits and bankruptcy fees. They make me pay 40% of all the legal fees for free speech itself, not just my private ones. I am out of money. I don't have any money. And so they sit there and they go, oh, Jones stole Bitcoin. You know, watch, he'll go to jail for that. The accountants looked at it all 100% into these business operations. So, we saw a massive decrease in support when I declared bankruptcy. And everybody thought we were closing our doors because people think bankruptcy is liquidation. That's the majority of bankruptcies. This is a Chapter 11, Subchapter 5 reorganization to prove we don't have all this money and to be able to move forward and hopefully have some reasonable settlement based in reality and move forward. And that's what the judge has seen and what the judge said. There was a lot of other stuff in the hearing that came out that just was not true. That's going to be exposed in the next few days. 100% not true. And I'm really biting my tongue here, okay? I'm really biting my tongue. But let me just say this to our enemies. You screwed up bad. You told so many lies in court over and over again and got your lapdogs to go along with you. You're in a lot of trouble because you lied in federal court, not me. A, I'm not into lying. B, I'm not a dumb son of a bitch. They got everybody out to get my ass. I don't even speed anymore. The only thing, only crime I've committed is I like to haul ass in my car, and I don't even do that anymore. Plus, I'm on some toll road with nobody around me. And then I only go 100. That's it. I drive 100 miles an hour on the toll road. That's it. That's all. I'm not Lex Luthor. But for listeners, this bankruptcy almost shut InfoWars down because you believe the media and you believe we were shutting down. We're not. But we're barely paying the bills. We got great products you need. Get a signed copy of The Great Reset as a fundraiser. Get an unsigned. I want to thank you for your support. Get the nitric boost. Great for your blood and body. We got the highest quality CBD oil at half off what anybody else is selling that quality at. We've got a lot of other great products. We're selling out very, very quickly of the Alex Jones for President shirts. There's still some available. People love it. It spreads the word. It's a great topic point. Not really running for president. It's all at InfoWarsStore.com. I want to thank you for your support, but only you can make the decision to shut us down. Or if the system decides to set me up and lie and try to put me in jail, so be it. I'm innocent, so it's their problem. That's it. But I'm going nowhere, and I'm not backing down, but I need your support. So please go to InfoWarsStore.com today. InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139. We'll continue to fight the trans cult, the New World Order, the open borders, this new super power grab, AI bill, S-686. Stay with us. All right. Mike Cernovich tweeted this yesterday. It's gone viral. It's just a clip from myself 10 years ago laying out what the real trans agenda is. We'll go to break and come back with your phone calls on the other side. The Supreme Court strikes down federal law that marriage is between a man and a woman. Again, it's about going after marriage. People go, hey, let people live together, live in peace. That's how it is on the surface. But this agenda in the textbooks, in the plans, you see how anti-family Hollywood is. You see the agenda. You see how anti-man it is. This is a social engineering program to break down society on record. On record. To tell five-year-olds that Heather has two mommies or, that Bobby has two daddies. I mean, this is pedophile behavior. Forcing down the throat of children, specifically. Sexualizing them when they're supposed to be innocent. Jocelyn Elders saying, let's teach five-year-olds how to masturbate. Reach down and help them. It's just the government in our life. As MSNBC says, your kids belong to the state. And they've said back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, I cover it in the extras of Endgame, Endgame 2.0 that's online. We show the university studies where they said, we're going to promote promiscuity so that people have abortions, don't have meaningful relationships. We're going to promote homosexuality. Homosexuality has always gone on, and I'm not here even demonizing people. The point is that they're force-feeding it, ladies and gentlemen, as just a way to be trendy. That's why there's so, you see the trends now where a lot of women say they're lesbians, but then they end up getting married because they just go become a lesbian for a while because that's the trendy thing to do. Or, same thing with men. And now they're just saying, we're pansexual, we're omnisexual. Humans have always, to some degree, been like that. Mammals are. The point is that they are artificially trying to amplify it unnaturally with chemicals in the food and water to reduce our population numbers and to break up the family. Clinton is hailing Supreme Court overturning law. He signed. There you go. It's just all part of the two-facedness. So nothing belongs to the family. That's why they say in federal documents, do not say husband and wife. It's hurtful. Remember those stories about a month ago we covered? It actually says France has made it the law. See, a father, see, being straight is a crime, ladies and gentlemen. Look at how they demonize gun owners, conservatives, libertarians. They're coming after us. Now, the average gay person is not into this, but they still will support any policy government puts out because, that's their friend. That's the friend that wants them to have rights. Is that why the government in 1978 on record, this has been declassified partially, is part of a Navy program in a hepatitis operation in the village in New York, gave thousands of highly promiscuous gay men who were having hundreds of partners a month Very destructive, folks. Very destructive lifestyle at that level. HIV, just like Bayer, helped pass that around as well. Oh, they care about you real good. They like it you're not going to have kids. They like it you're going to die alone, statistically. They like the fact that gay men have the lowest life expectancy. They want to kill you. The last thing they want is for you to ever have the joy of children. But don't worry. They're going to go take heterosexuals' kids. They're hunting us. This is and give them to the gay couples. That's what goes on. And I'm supposed to go, here, take people's kids. I mean, it's liberal. Maybe we should sacrifice our kids to a big homosexual altar. Maybe have a pyramid, and you go up, and the gay priests are there, and they chop your kid up with a meat cleaver, you know, to prove you're not racist or homophobic. I mean, every society has done this in Sodom and Gomorrah. Whether you believe the Bible or not, the men come to the door and say, give us those men, come out, we're going to have sex with you. Where did they get this idea of a gang of men coming and saying, we're going to rape you?
So the deep state in the last few years has been caught massively surveilling, not just the American people all over the world, other governments are doing as well. The EU has claimed control over our speech and threatened to arrest Elon Musk. And they've been caught surveilling us, that's the real story, and coordinating with all these corporate and private and governmental groups and intelligence agencies to criminally racketeer and election meddling and suppress and dominate and suppress consumers and try to make us take poison shots and lock us down and really put us through the paces of slavery. And so there's congressional hearings and there's hearings in Europe and the truth's coming out. Millions are marching and protesting. And so they come up with a bill that's set to pass with bipartisan support, S-686, that I just read large sections of last hour, and it's worse than I can even tell you. I mean, it's that bad. It's so horrible that it makes your head spin. That all internet, all computers, all machines, all wireless networks, private, corporate, governmental, satellites, everything, down to all your computers and devices in your smart things that you didn't even want. You buy a dishwasher or a washing machine or a refrigerator, and it's all preparing to carbon tax you and social credit score you. And I saw an ad for Randall's last night. Tried to find it again. It popped up when I was watching a video. Randall's grocery store is saying, use our new app when you do smart choices that are good for the environment and good for you. We give you discounts. That's the social credit score. It's already rolling out. And this creates and codifies what's already been set up, but officially puts it in law under the Patriot Act, that these governmental boards with the State Department and Commerce Department, advised by the ADL and Southern Poverty Law Center, just like you've already seen, but now codified in law, will put you in jail for 20 years if you, quote, put out disinformation or use a VPN. Now, I heard from Krug, because John Bowne's been here for more than 10 years, but most employees that want to work from home, we don't let them, but John Bowne's more productive at home. So he works from home because he also takes care of a sick loved one. I'll get into the details of it, but he's a great guy. But John Bowne's awesome. He works from home, and I don't ever get to really see Bowne, but I heard he called a bunch of people freaked out last night because he read through the bill and said, Alex has got to get on this. It's worse than he knows. Well, I'd only scanned the bill. Now I've read the bill, and he's right. So you never hear John Bowne on air. John Bowne may surface every 3 years. He called in, okay? So he's freaking out. I want to go to John Bowne first, who did a big report on this, the TikTok banned smokescreen. This just is part one. He's going to do more that just went up last night. Bowne, you're very upset about this, and you should be, because you're a media analyst, you've been a journalist, worked for mainstream media, you know, since you were in college. Of course, your dad's a famous, Peabody Award winner and a lot more. But so you are a journalist, and you've looked at this, and you are freaked out, and I think you should be. And I'm glad you called in. I try to get you as a guest, and you don't want to come on. So to get John Bowne upset, folks, something's going on. John, what is your analysis of this bill?
Well, I've been stewing on it, and thanks, Alex. I've been stewing on it for a few days now, and I've been on it, and I've been, you know, raging about it to my family here at home, and it's amazing to be in front of something like this when the rest of the country isn't there yet. And to read the bill and then be a few days ahead of when Tucker presents it, and he presents the summary of the bill, which is kind of business as usual. Okay, there's going to be foreign adversaries, and we're going to pick a, you know, they try to, then you pick through the actual bill, and it basically describes InfoWars. It describes Steven Crowder. It describes Fox News. And basically they're saying, we're coming for you. And so when I saw that, then I realized this is it. There is no bigger story. And today it's on the top of Drudge, and now people are starting to wrap their minds around it. And so I've had a few days in front of this, and so my latest thoughts about it is that who really wrote this bill? How deep into China is Warner playing the Hegelian dialectic off the rest of us? To claim that he's doing the best he can to counter the Chinese threat. How deep into China is Warner and Thune and Lindsey Graham and the rest of them that are sponsoring this treasonous bill that violates our First and Fourth Amendment just without question? It completely violates the Constitution, and it also sets up people like you and me and the rest of us, independent journalists and people, free thinkers. It sets us up for a Ruby Ridge Waco situation. Because if they get this thing passed, they're going to have all the enforcement behind it. It's not just going to be they're coming in and taking over our computers and stuff and looking at what we're reading and writing about. They're going to enforce it.
What with the entire military, CIA, foreign espionage grid.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to get super ugly. So this has to stop now. Everybody out there that's listening right now, every one of you morons in Washington, D.C., every one of you up there in your country club, you need to listen right now. You need to listen good. You are committing treason if you support this bill, and you know it. And you need to stop this today.
It's totally insane. I mean, because I've gone over, but you've dug into it more. I mean, it says Patriot Act. It says anything they say is disinfo, 20 years in jail. VPNs, 20 years in jail. Total surveillance of everything. I mean, this is like such a crime. Everyone who authored this, like you said, they should go to jail. I mean, this is crazy.
Yeah. And there's also the Data Act, too, that I believe McCall authored. Our guy here in Austin, and that involves, as far as I can tell, that'll be in the next report, but it pretty much involves the FEC and the election.
So, in the name of countering all the devices they mandate that are in all the computers that spy on us, the microphones and cameras, they're going to take more of our rights. So they attack us with this stuff, this software, and then they go, don't worry, we'll protect you from it by the very same people that run it, expanding it.
Yeah, well, it's a total... They're going to overreach as far as they can. And you broke it down perfectly, because it is all basically a prelude. Everything Biden's done so far, the tyranny he's kind of chipped away at little by little. And, of course, Biden isn't doing this. We all know he's compromised, and, you know, he's getting paid by the Chinese, and he's going to do whatever he's told to do. But I just want to know who's telling him to do these things and who's writing these bills, because it ain't Warner.
And that's really chess you're playing when you talk about the globalists that set up China. They're behind this. This is what the Chinese have done to their people, but it's even more controlling than that. And these Republicans all went along with the sellout of America to China. Obama came out in a speech and blamed Trump for the rise of China when Trump started blocking the rise of China, so that virus got released.
Yeah. I mean, they turn everything on its head, so it's always, you know, they're doing what they're saying we're doing. But at this point, and then you got to think about, so what happens if they go through with this and they do shut down Fox News and they do shut down InfoWars and everybody else, and they're carting all of us off to jail because we're the next phase of January 6th gulag prisoners, right? Is the country that asleep? Are we that afraid of our government? Are we that weak?
By the way, John, stay there and then I'll get to other callers. But you talk about this, how it's a war against InfoWars, a war against Steven Crowder, a war against Tucker Carlson. It explains that there, that not just your computer interfacing what they claim is a foreign government or group, if you put out info they say is disinfo, 20 years in prison. So it's forget them just censoring you. It's jail time because they say so. It's thought crime.
Yep.
I mean, this makes George Orwell blush, folks.
Past, present, or future.
It says past. Let's talk exactly. It says past, present, and future. Previous thought crime. So, yes, this mother of all tyrannies, S-686, that has bipartisan support, very close to passing, to counter TikTok. Oh, they're like, we want you to ban TikTok. I'm like, well, I don't know if that's fair, because you should control yourself and know it's weaponized, and people should just expose it and not go along with it, and parents should say don't be on that. But now, oh, no, it's a total takeover of all telecommunications, all internet, and past, present, and future. If we just say you put out this info or you aided and abetted somebody, we're going to put you in jail for 20 years, $1 million fine. I mean, John Bound, this is really, I think, a sign of their desperateness, trying to codify all the criminal activity they've already been involved in the last 6-7 years into law. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, the desperation is there, because when you do take it all in, when the shock and awe leaves you and you do a couple of nights sleep on it and really think about it, there's no way that they thought all this up. I mean, there has to be a Bilderberg influence, a Rockefeller influence, a UN influence. There's a world government influence in this bill, because it is so over the top. There's no regard whatsoever for our Constitution or our Bill of Rights, or, you know, just humanity in general. And then I don't want to take up too much time, because I do want to hear what IT people have to say about some of the language in here. But there's that stipulation that it says 1 million users. The requirement is that you have 1 million users. I'd like someone to break down exactly what that means. And then the fact that if you're using Chinese, you bought software from China or whatever. Well, you know, I can go down to Walmart and fill my entire house full of Chinese technology. Pretty much every
about 75% of tech, whether it's your car or refrigerator, has Chinese software and Chinese chips.
Yeah, I mean, what do they want us to do? Buy American? Because that's going to make it happen. So it's completely mind blowing. It's completely desperate. And I just want to reiterate the point you made, is that the authors and the sponsors, they really should be watching their jobs. And this next report I put out, I'm going to put every one of your all's phone numbers up, and I'm going to show people at the end of the report how to contact your representative, because this is the time to do it. Self-governance doesn't happen by accident, and it's now or never, people. This really is it.
Thank you, John Bound, for the great job you do. Love seeing your reports every few days. All right. Let's go ahead and take a call now from a cybersecurity expert. Let's go ahead and talk to Bart in Massachusetts. Bart, thanks for calling.
Hey, can you hear me, Alex?
I can. Go ahead.
Hey, God bless, brother. Thank you for continuing to stand up for us, especially in the light of what you've been talking about today, S-2666 or whatever it's called. I just wanted to say, in IT, seeing a lot of AI integration every day, and absolutely concerning. The transhumanist trans cult is actually, you know, quite a few of them are operating it very innocently, but just kind of ironic.
It's funny you say that, because I was talking to folks high up in Spotify before it was in the news, and later saw in the news, something like 80% of the U.S. arm, it's based out of Sweden, Spotify, 80% of the people that work in New York are trans, and basically they won't let you work there now if you're not trans,
at Spotify. So you're saying you've seen this trend of them putting trans people in control of this?
Yes, but seemingly not on purpose. So just kind of the way things work. And I just wanted to point out, you've always talked about the system, the beast system. And I think we need to look at that in the all the news you're talking about today in that lens. And then concerningly the Satan Con, I just wanted to bring to your attention happening in Boston the end of April. So big satanic conference, control. They're controlling people. Must be vaccinated, must wear masks. So it's all about control and being bigger than God.
Thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate your call. Let's talk to another caller, cybersecurity expert Ryan in Georgia. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Awesome. Hey, thanks, Alex. So I love how they wrap these laws in that PR. So it's like the TikTok ban, right? But then you dig into it, and it's more nefarious than that. So some of my thoughts. It sounds like they're trying to get rid of any competition in terms of social media and then in alternative media in general. So I run a couple startups, one in the social media space. Another thing that you were saying is, you know, most of this software is coming from open source sources, right? So if there's a Chinese contributor to that, what does that mean? Are they going to go? I mean, does that influence? That could kill the open source market. And most of the commercial software runs on open source platforms. So those are my initial thoughts. I mean, the bad news is they're going for broke. You know, they want to ban their competition. They want to get rid of the First Amendment. The good news is there's a turning back to God and turning back to religion. I mean, I just went to church and the church is full. And you know, when Biden got elected, I got on my hands and knees and said, if we have to go through this, you know, we have to go through this, you know, and, those are my thoughts. I'd love to hear if you have any comments, Alex.
No, I totally agree. And thank you, Ryan. This is a spiritual takeover. This is the mark of the beast. This is total AI plugged into everything you do, watching you 24/7 in the name of countering a Chinese app. They let come in here and surveil us and control us. They go, well, we're going to stop the Chinese Huawei 5G because it takes over. But ours is good. It's two competing predatory systems that are very incestuously interlocked. And then they write this legislation to retroactively legalize, that's what it says, past, present, future, all the crimes they've already committed. That's what this is them trying to clean up what big tech with government has done really in the last decade. It got really bad under Obama, continued under Trump because Obama put his people in there and Trump wasn't sophisticated enough to know it. And you'll remember those headlines. General Kelly's main job is keeping Trump away from Alex Jones 5 years ago. Headlines, Washington Post. His main job is keeping Trump off InfoWars and not talking to Alex Jones. Because I'd get on the phone and Trump would call and I'd say, sir, Obama put a stay behind network in the government. Here's the name of the bill, John Warner Defense Authorization Act, 2017, signed in December. And here's what it does, Countering Foreign Disinformation Propaganda Act, millions of dollars. Here's the funding. They're the ones working against you. They're spying on you, sir. They're censoring us. This is the group. This is the thing. Very interesting, Alex. I'm going to check into that. And then all hell broke loose, lawsuits, everything else. And they said, our main mission is keeping him away from Jones. We'll be right back. All right, we're talking about Senate legislation that's set to pass very soon. S-686. That is the total Mark of the Beast takeover of everything in prison time for using a VPN or what anything the criminal government calls disinformation. Unbelievable. Let's go to Parnov in Illinois, then Tony in Colorado. You're on the air. Welcome, software developer. What's your view on this?
Hey, Alex. How's it going?
Good, sir.
I just wanted to say I got the nitric boost, enjoying it. Just ordered the Alex Jones for President shirt. I don't think that's a joke at all. But I just want to say that.
Well, I don't think you're running for president's a joke. I'm just saying it's a fun shirt to stir up comment. And
yeah, but you're one of the best people we got for the job, Alex. But I just wanted to say my grandfather recently passed away at the age of 71 in India. Before that, he was a great practicer of health and yoga. He was an electrical engineer, super smart, spoke great English, knew German, but he was triple jabbed, and I'm positive that's what happened. He had a common flu, and his symptoms just progressed to the point where his immune system couldn't handle it anymore. And we all
I'm
know
sorry that's they, what it yeah, I'm sorry they killed your grandfather.
I just wanted to talk about the bill. With FedNow releasing in July, we're going to see a financial lockdown. S-686 represents a digital and real estate physical lockdown. This bill covers anything that, really anything that has an internet connection and they view as a threat. And they can report these threats to the president. And if the president deems that this nincompoop that we have in office, if he deems that it's a threat, then you're sent to jail for 20 years.
You just did the perfect summary of it. That's exactly what it says. The government deems it. No judge, no jury. You go to jail.
Okay, thanks, Alex.
Anything else you'd like to add?
No, it's all love. We're going to win this.
For folks that don't know, sir, tell them what FedNow is. That's the beginning of the central bank digital currency.
The FedNow represents getting all the major banks to all transition onto this digital platform where every single transaction is going through one system. At that point, they can digitize everything, and money is just a number on the computer they can input. There's no backing to anything at that point.
Appreciate your call. God bless you. Sorry about your grandfather, but he lives on forever. Let's talk to another caller. Let's go to Tony, first time from Colorado, software developer. Give us your view on S-686.
Yeah, hey, this is Tony from Colorado. Yeah, I've been a software developer for about 25 years and first-time caller here. I just want to comment on Bill 686. So the most concerning thing about Bill 686, first of all, it pretty much covers the whole kitchen sink, right? So the Section 2, the entities that it covers, it even covers nonprofits, it covers trusts, corporations, fraternal or social organizations. I mean, they pretty much can pick and choose who they want to basically persecute, right? Secondly, if you look at Section 5,
yeah, go ahead.
It covers hardware and actual software. I mean, it's, you know, we're talking wireless local networks, cable access points. I mean, on the software side, they're talking about e-commerce software, desktop applications. I mean, it's basically
it talks about labor unions. It takes everything over.
Yeah, it takes everything over. But here's the thing, you know, the there's a paragraph in there when a previous caller mentioned a million or so persons, right? You know, if it qualifies, you know, a million persons, if the software facilitates. But because it actually covers hardware, and this is really specific here, it says expected to use, process, or retain. Now, here's the thing.
So process, the hardware is able to take a million, they now have you under their jurisdiction.
That's right. Now, but and I'm going to blow your mind here, Axis. The process, right? It doesn't have to retain process. Now, here's a little known thing that people don't know. The internet runs on internet backbone providers, okay? And there are companies like Verizon, Level 3. You know, you have your local ISPs and everybody's connected.
So that's going to make them guilty for what somebody else is doing.
That's absolutely right. And then in addition, if you really start thinking about it, they have a clause for penalty, anybody that's aiding and abetting. I mean, we're all connected to this backbone. It's like they're just trying to censor everything. This bill is the
No, that's what bill. I said. It says everyone's guilty, yeah. Period.
Period. But I mean, they even got this whole, they're even covering the internet backbone here. So this bill, if it passes,
this is the ring of Mordor, one ring to rule them all and in the darkness bind them.
Oh my God, this is the end of all free speech, any news media, InfoWars, everything, because they basically are gonna kick down your door and kill your dog. I mean, it's really what it is, man. So that's my comment. Thanks Alex.
Well, you said it perfectly, just like the last caller, and you've read the bill. You're a software guy. It's right there. I mean, is this not crazy?
No, it is crazy. There's nothing you can write and develop that this bill doesn't cover. And I tell you what, whoever, you know, you expect that some of these people, they don't really know what they're actually writing, right? You know, maybe people in government don't necessarily.
But in this, you can tell some real experts wrote this.
Absolutely. For the ability for it to cover everything. I mean, it even covers satellite communications, right? So think about it this way: Elon Musk is using Starlink in Ukraine. This is even covered in that. If they deem that he's.
It's got all the private and government networks and corporate networks that run. I mean, I'm not an engineer, but is not everything listed here?
Everything. They're even covering future technologies like post-quantum cryptography and biotechnology and synthetic biology. This is
because they know biological computers are being developed secretly. They've even got that covered.
Yes. So God help us. Honestly, the whole cover thing with TikTok is just genius. We have a whole bunch of people that are asleep. They think it's, you know, because of this TikTok thing. Maybe in some of these senators or whoever's voting for this, they don't even know what's in this bill. They're just going to vote for it. Man, this is probably the most dangerous bill I've ever seen. I mean, it basically ends everything for us. So.
And do you agree with me, though? This is them trying to retroactively legalize all the crime they've already been committing.
That's right.
Incredible call, Tony. Thank you. See, folks, it's not just my Alex Jones interpretation. I mean, this is here. I mean, this is the King Kong of tyranny. I mean, this is. All right, let's go ahead and take another call here from another software engineer. Then we'll get into Trans Day of Judgment and the rest of it. Let's go to Cynthia in Florida. Go ahead, Cynthia.
Hi, Alex. How are you? I'm so proud to be on your I'm just so excited about talking to you. Been listening to you for a while.
It's good to talk to you, but just get right up on your telephone.
Okay, so here's the deal. I am here in Florida, in Martin County. We have the Tea Party here and everything you say, and we're putting everything out there. I will do a shout-out to all the groups in Florida, and I will make sure that they see this bill, and we make calls to our elected officials.
Everybody's got to raise the alarm about this bill.
Yes, and the smart thing, let me tell you, years ago, we wrote letters, and we have them.
Ma'am, do me a favor.
Leaders.
Listen, I want to be able to hear you. Take your phone off speaker.
Can you hear me now?
A little bit better. Go ahead.
Alex?
Yes.
Okay. So anyway, what I'm going to do is, years ago, we did the smart meter. So we all have that on our meters to make sure that they don't come in and change our meters.
Yes, the smart meter is their Imperial probe droid that accesses this, yes.
Absolutely, yes. So we had done that years ago, and we're still on top of that. I don't have anything smart in my house, so I'm pretty lucky. But anyway, to make a long story short, we're out there. We're still trying, but this is really hard because people are still hooked on to watching lamestream media.
Absolutely. Look, tech is great, but it's controlled by them, and so it has that incredible Trojan horse aspect. Thanks for the call.
Right.
All right, thank you for the call. And I love these great callers, but the phone was just, you know, I had to really focus here what you were saying. But what I did hear you say was dead on. God bless you. Raise the alarm. We love you. All right, we got a bunch of folks on hold about the whole Trans Day of Rage coming up April 1st. And what just happened in Tennessee? We'll get to all your calls next. On the other side, stay with us. One ring to rule them all and in the darkness bind them. The AI megagrid worldwide going in now.
Feel it in the earth. I smell it in the air. Much that once was is lost. For none now live who remember it. It began with the forging of the Great Rings. Three were given to the elves, immortal, wisest, and fairest of all beings. Seven to the Dwarf Lords, great miners and craftsmen of the mountain halls. And nine rings were gifted to the race of men who, above all else, desire power. For within these rings was bound the strength and will to govern each race. they were all of them deceived. For another ring was made. Land of Mordor, in the fires of Mount Doom, the Dark Lord Sauron forged in secret a master ring to control all others. And into this ring, he poured his cruelty, his malice, and his will to dominate all life. One ring to rule them all. One by one, the three lands of Middle-earth fell to the power of the ring. But there were some who resisted. A last alliance of men and elves marched against the armies of Mordor. And on the slopes of Mount Doom, they fought for the freedom of Middle-earth. The power of the ring could not be undone. It was in this moment, when all hope had faded, that Isildur, son of the king, took up his father's sword. Enemy of the free peoples of Middle-earth was defeated. The ring passed to Isildur, who had this one chance to destroy evil forever. But the hearts of men are easily corrupted.
And the Ring of Power has a will of its own. The plan for world government is ancient. Satan's plan is now upon us. The ring has now been rediscovered and manifest as the big tech takeover. Perfect allegory from J.R.R. Tolkien of what we're facing in S-686. They'll protect you from the Chinese AI with their total AI takeover and prison sentences for Tucker Carlson, Alex Jones, and Steven Crowder. They mean business. They give you all these Trojan horse systems that seem so fun and so great, but all of them back doors to run your life. All right, I'm going to go to calls now. We mainly went to the calls on S-686. Scott Ritter scheduled to be in studio. But in this segment, the next, I'm going to take your calls and then continue on. Let's go ahead and take calls on the trans cult. The next caller is Larry from New York. Go ahead. Thanks for calling.
Hi, this is Larry Chan. I'm the author of Rainic Marslight. Alex, I think the trans movement is the least of our problems. In my movie, I created a deer monster called the Rainic, which is an anthropomorphic deer that has incredible sex appeal and overt female sexuality. Its breasts become bigger whenever Mars is in the sky.
Now, you know, I'm like not trying to be mean, but I can't understand what you're saying.
Okay. Yeah, hi. Basically, what I'm just saying is that I think that women have sex appeal then they should have the right to show it off. And I don't think the LGBT community is a real threat. I think the biggest distraction, I think the thing is that it's a distraction from our real problems, which is, in my opinion, is this massive Jewish control of the media. I mean, it's no big secret that anyone who makes even the slightest remark about the Holocaust gets terminated. And this really ruins people's lives. So I'm actually saying...
All right, I appreciate your call. You know, here's the deal. I had Kanye West in here for 3 hours doing the whole Jew thing. Didn't censor him. And all I said was, call in about the trans movement or about S-686, and you didn't do that. Okay? You want to have a Jew-bashing show? I mean, we can do it. But I can always tell one of these guys, he's talking so fast, like he can't believe about the truth. He's about to get it out. It'll beat him as soon as he says, the Jews! And it's just like, it's like he's snorting methamphetamine and so exciting. I don't like what some of the things Israel's doing. We're not even talking about that. But the whole trans cult targeting our kids isn't a problem? In San Francisco, 65% of the kids now identify as trans or something else? Something like 20% nationwide? Is fentanyl not an issue? Is the border being opened on an issue? Is World War III not an issue? That's what it is about the Jew bashers, is it's all they talk about. And it's like I'm up here talking about this bill that totally takes over. He doesn't call in about that. He doesn't call in about... No, he just says the trans issues. Women need to be sexual and... What the... I don't even know how to deal with it, man. Drives me crazy. You drive me crazy. Mike in Tennessee on the trans agenda. Go ahead.
Hello, this is Nick Anonymous. NickAnonymous.substack.com. Neo Anonymous, we never forget. I want to talk about this. All ties in. This is all together. Ties in together with the grand picture. And there's only one way out of this, and it's to do what Israel is doing and to do what France is doing right now and rise up. The only way out of this is if we all rise together.
I agree. Netanyahu just backed off that big giant judicial tyranny power grab because millions hit the streets. And we should be in solidarity with people in Israel and France, everywhere else. I agree with you, in the Netherlands.
Okay. We are going to lose World War III if this bill comes in, because we are no longer represent what we stand for. We stand for freedom. We stand for the free speech, the ability to think what you want, the ability to speak your mind. And we will never stand. And this is the globalist push towards China so we can be defeated by China. And everything is camouflaged as TikTok, you know, against China.
But meanwhile, they're making us become China in the name of countering China. Exactly. They use a foreign threat as a pretext for control. They use the Cold War to take our rights. Well, they were funding Russia the whole time. They were funding radical Islam. They used 9/11 to take our rights. And now they declare we're all domestic terrorists because China has an app. Now we've all got to be surveilled and put in jail because of China, who they put in power.
Exactly. And what's going on is with these mass shooters. Bill Cooper talked about this, the MK Ultra program, and Pete Santilli is spot on. Okay, this is a push to take away the Second Amendment.
Oh, 100%. And, I mean, you look at this woman completely whacked out of her brain on a bunch of psychotropic drugs under a psychiatrist's care, every time the same M.O. Great points. All right, we'll continue. We got badass Uncle Sam calling in. We'll go to him next, and we're going to air a little promo and get Scott Ritter in studio. All right, Scott Ritter is an expert in the Soviet Union and war, a major Iraq whistleblower. Major League persecuted, not the level of Julian Assange, but close. He'll be in studio with us coming up next segment throughout the hour. Very important next hour. But badass Uncle Sam, if it really is badass Uncle Sam, has a band out video channel, goes out, talks to public every week, does a great job. Want to get his take on the Trans Day of Vengeance. And I got a whole stack of news I haven't gotten to here. The governor's office says calls for violence against anybody that criticizes the trans cult. The left's up here saying kill Christians everywhere. So this is what the left's calling for. What do you think's coming, badass Uncle Sam?
Hey, Alex, yeah, this is the badass Uncle Sam. And before I even get there, I just want to thank you for saving my life. This is a true thing. Last year I was hit by that bioweapon. I was in the hospital. They did not expect me to live. And I drove all my supplements with me. And they said, well, we can't allow you to take those supplements. I said, you tell me I can't take the supplements, you can take me out of this hospital. Well, I survived, obviously. But one of the nurses, and this is a quote, told me, if I had not taken those supplements, I would not have lived. So I'm telling you, folks, these supplements saved my life. I want to thank you for saving my life. And I just made another big order. Can't wait to get it in.
Well, thanks for the support. I love your work. I didn't know you were sick. Sorry I didn't know about that. What's your view on the trans cult? They're promised to engage in a bunch of violence. They've got high-level FBI people now warning they think copycat attacks are about to happen.
Well, as you know, I'm in the gay capital of the South here in New Orleans. And I'm going to be putting up a video tomorrow that pretty much amplifies the reaction I get on the street here, because I'm on the bullhorn. And I'm trying to invite liberals over to talk. And one of the things I say over the bullhorn is, could you please explain to me how helping women by having men compete with women in women's sports, how does that help women out? So but I'm telling you nothing. And this includes people that are even in or are LTGB or whatever they want to call them, just liberals. They just go off the rails when I bring that question up. It's like, can you tell them? I'll say, look, I'm not trying to trash trainees. I'm just trying to wonder why.
Well, they say, we're victims. Let us have access to your kids. Let us do whatever we want. Let us be God.
Indeed. And I just want people to pray for me, because I'm going to be out there this weekend, and it's going to be the weekend of rage and vengeance. And as I say, every weekend I encounter these people, every weekend. So I'm sure it's going to be even more it's going to be more so this weekend. So if anybody's in the area that want to come out and watch my six, hey, come and join me. We'll have some fun out there.
Where are you going to be this weekend?
I'm going to be right down there at the in the French Quarter, right at the beginning of the French Market. It's a big foot traffic.
Yeah, for
area.
People that don't know, I've seen the videos. You've been brutally attacked and had to kick some people's asses.
Oh yeah, yeah. It is what it is. But I tell you, Alex, people always ask me what kind of reaction I get. Well, of course, most people ignore you. They don't want to get involved. But overwhelmingly, and then I'm like, man, then this liberal cesspool. I would say I'll get 500 thumbs up before someone shoots me the middle finger. I mean that the support.
No, I mean I watch your videos almost every week when I get a chance to, and. But man, I seen that one guy try to kill you, and you finally beat the hell out of him. But I mean, it's dangerous dealing with these people, and we appreciate you, brother.
Yeah, we got a lawsuit against him and the city too coming up. So that's,
yeah, the cops just sit there.
Yeah, he didn't do a darn thing. Yeah, it was strange.
All right, brother. Well, we appreciate you and glad you got better. God bless you. The biggest thing is we load up on vitamin D and iodine and stuff before you get sick. But wow, thank you so much, sir. Find Badass Uncle Sam on Band.Out Video. Remember, all those hundreds of band contributors are only at Band.Out Video because you buy the products and support us. Thank you. All right, talk about a guy that's been talking about the deep state, a smart guy. I'm very excited to have Scott Ritter. He's been on before many, many years ago via like Skype, but I don't think ever in person. So Scott Ritter's coming in right now. And we'll continue after that with your phone calls. Please stay with us.
The bottom line on nuclear weapons is that when the president gives the order, it must be followed. There's about 4 minutes between the order being given and the people responsible for launching nuclear weapons to do so.
As president, I will make it clear that the United States will treat cyber attacks just like any other attack. We will be ready with serious political, economic, and military responses.
They're voting for peace on planet Earth if they vote for Trump. But if they vote for Hillary, it's war.
We came, we saw, he died.
With her, you'll end up in World War III.
I want the Iranians to know that if I'm the president, we will attack Iran.
Right now, Senator, for us to control all of the airspace in Syria would require us to go to war against Syria and Russia.
The U.S. military has just raised the threat level to DEFCON 2. Meanwhile, Hillary Clinton is still threatening Russia with military action following unconfirmed reports of further hacking. It's like she's not even concerned about the repercussions.
Of course
not, guys.
Because she's...
Well, there's a really loud noise.
All right, looks like we're having a little bit of technical difficulties. We'll try to get Leanne back on in a few minutes.
When the president gives the order, it must be followed.
Well, Scott Ritter needs an introduction. He's a former Marine intelligence officer who served in the former Soviet Union implementing arms control agreements on the staff of General Norman Schwarzkopf during the Gulf War. He played a crucial role in the hunt for Iraq's Scud missiles from 91 to 98. Mr. Ritter served as a chief inspector of the United Nations in Iraq, leading the search for Iraq's so-called weapons of mass destruction. Mr. Ritter was a vocal critic of the American decision to go to war in Iraq in 2003. His new book, Disarmament, The Time of Perestroika, Arms Control, and the End of the Soviet Union, is his ninth. Real Scott Ritter on Twitter, ScottRitterExtra.com. And we couldn't have a more important, informative, truthful, honorable person with us in studio. So, sir, you're going to have the floor here and just tell people about what's happening in Ukraine, what's happening in Russia, what's happening in the rest of the world, and your view on how we can try to stop what I think is already the beginning of World War III leading to nuclear confrontation. So thanks for being here.
Thank you very much for having me. Look, you're absolutely right. We couldn't be in a more critical period of time. But what's important to understand is, like the war in Iraq, this is a war of choice that we're waging against Russia right now. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't mean to be too blunt here. We're at war with Russia. It hasn't turned into a straight-up nuclear showdown yet. But we have made it, we, the United States, have made it our objective to achieve the strategic defeat of Russia. That's the official policy of the United States. And if you're Russia and you hear a nuclear power like the United States, who's aligned with a anti-Russian military organization, NATO, saying that their mission is the strategic defeat of Russia, that means you can't trust the United States. You have to assume that everything the United States is doing is geared towards your destruction, and it's incumbent upon you to respond accordingly. People out there right now are saying that Russia launched an unprovoked act of aggression against Ukraine on February 24th of 2022. That's the furthest thing from the truth. To accept that, you have to ignore the fact that in 2008, the former U.S. ambassador to Russia, current CIA director William Burns, wrote a memorandum called Net Means Net, No Means No, establishing what he said were the red lines Russia set about bringing Ukraine into NATO, that if we tried to bring Ukraine into NATO, it would provoke a Russian military response. So we knew later that year when we invited Ukraine into NATO that we were doing it knowing Russia would react militarily. Then in 2014, we conduct a coup against the constitutionally elected government of Viktor Yanukovych in Ukraine, replace him with the most odious regime possible. Neo-Nazis, supporters of Adolf Hitler, have come back to life today in Central Europe, in Ukraine. We put them in power. There was a war, a conflict. Russia was ready to defeat them militarily in the fall of 2014. Then Russia, then France and Germany intervene. Something called the Minsk Accords, a ceasefire agreement, took place. And for 8 years, Russia sought a peaceful outcome. They sought to get all the parties to implement the Minsk Accords. We now know that neither Ukraine, France, or Germany took this seriously. They all admit it was a sham designed to buy time so NATO could train a Ukrainian army to go to war against Russia. Russia believed in peace, tried to achieve peace. In December of 2021, they put two draft peace treaties on the table. We ignored it. When they intervened in February, it's because they had no other choice. The Ukrainian military was shelling civilian areas in the Donbas, killing hundreds of children, thousands of civilians. But even after Russia's intervention, they sought a peaceful outcome. Rather than trying to capture the city, overthrow the government, they wanted negotiations. And they actually had a negotiated peace settlement ready to sign on 1 April when the United States, Great Britain intervened and brought an end to that. That's the war we're in today. It's a war that Russia's fighting to save the civilian population, the ethnic Russian civilian population of eastern Ukraine. It's a war being waged by Ukraine as a proxy of NATO and the United States to undermine, destroy, and otherwise destabilize Russia. The consequences of this are that we have a level of nuclear escalation that's unprecedented in history. There is no more arms control right now. The last remaining arms control treaty has been suspended because Russia says we can't do business with a nation that wants to inspect our most sensitive facilities at the same time they say we want to defeat you strategically. So Russia says we can't talk to you until you change your strategic outcome. You have to be willing to talk to us as equals and deal with this. This treaty expires in February of 2026. And when that treaty expires, there will be no more arms control. At a time when there's the greatest level of tension between Russia and the United States, both sides will be in a new arms race. Ladies and gentlemen, one mistake, one miscalculation, one, you know, error of judgment, it's all over. In a nuclear war, there's no such thing as a limited nuclear war. You can't win a nuclear war. By all over, I mean you're all dead. And that's our future if we don't find a way to get disarmament back on the table. That's why the 2024 elections are probably one of the most important elections in the history of the United States, because literally the future of the United States and the world is on the line. We elect the wrong person, we don't get arms control, we all die.
I'm not an arms treaty expert like you. You cut your teeth on that and worked in that in decades and accurately said there were no WMDs in Iraq as a chief UN inspector, but we're going to go to break. But just as a layperson, I can study the Rand Corporation documents, the Pentagon threat escalation doctrines, and we're moving right up that threat scale towards nuclear war. And every, like you said, every analyst says once it gets to a point, it goes all the way.
Yes, sir. And all the way, I don't want to scare people. You will all die. It's that blunt. You cannot survive a nuclear conflict waged between nuclear powers like the United States and Russia. Once it happens, all the weapons are released, everybody dies.
And even if it stayed to a limited, the different numbers I've seen is reactors melt down, society breaks down, stock markets crash, because the Pentagon's like, oh, we can have a limited war. Well, even a limited war will destroy the economy.
Right, but the Pentagon doesn't understand it takes two to tango. Russia doesn't believe in a limited war. So we may think we're getting a limited war. They're coming at us with total.
Well, let's talk about Russian doctrine, because they've got their nuclear forces doing big drills. Putin keeps warning nuclear war is imminent. Scott Ritter's our guest in studio. Couldn't have a better guest at this time. Stay with us. Well, you talk about one of the original whistleblowers about WMDs and the kind of proto-example of WikiLeaks. Scott Ritter, former chief UN weapons inspector, one of the top weapons inspectors over there in Iraq, and saying it was all a lie and being massively persecuted. And you're getting into where we currently are with Russia and their posture. I'm not going to play the clip. I played it like 30 times. But Biden 8 months ago said, you can't ship Abrams tanks in. That escalates things, and that goes to World War III, but now they are. So what changed? I played a clip from during the campaign back in 2016 where Hillary said, we will basically go after Russia, we will go after Iran. And the Joint Chiefs of Staff were like, that leads to World War III, we can't do it. Now something's changed. All the old doctrine where the Pentagon knew they couldn't do this has been thrown to the wayside in just the last 8-9 months very recklessly. Where do you see this going, and what should the viewers and listeners know, and how do we stop it?
Well, the how we stop it part's the hard, and we'll deal that at the end. Look, what's changed? What's changed is that the United States, the Biden administration, like Hillary Clinton, has no respect for Russia, none whatsoever. And if you don't respect somebody, then you're ignorant of their realities. And the reality is, not only is Russia a peer-level military opponent, meaning that they're as good as we are, ladies and gentlemen. Look, I'm a former Marine, and I'm the kind of guy that says you can't beat me in any kind of fight, okay? If I went to war against Russia, I'm convinced my Marines would win, but it would be a hell of a price, a hell of a fight, because they're that good. But it doesn't matter. No nuclear-armed power like the United States or Russia can lose a stand-up fight against a peer-level opponent, because that's existential. That means that your nation goes away. That's why we have nuclear weapons, to make sure that we don't disappear.
Mutually assured destruction.
Mutually assured destruction. But we've deviated from that. Starting in post-9/11 United States, back when we viewed Russia as weak, we started talking about preemptive nuclear conflict, where we could use nuclear weapons preemptively.
Lots of articles about it's not bad to use nukes.
There's everything bad about using nukes. Again, This wheel's being reinvented. Back in the 1960s, we had people like Mr. Wolfstetter and others who believed that we could fight and win a nuclear war. Fortunately, smarter people, Richard Nixon, one of them, came out and said, no, we can't. That's why mutually assured destruction came into being, where we both agreed there's no reason to fight a nuclear war because if we do, we all die. But now we have a new generation of people who think, no, wait a minute, because Russia's weak, we can bully them, we can threaten them with nuclear conflict, and they'll back down. I'm here to tell you right now, Russia's not weak. Russia has a nuclear arsenal that's second to none, and they have a doctrine that says that they are attacked. This is why I don't believe in limited nuclear war, because it doesn't matter what we believe. We use one nuclear weapon against Russia, they'll launch everything at us instantly, and there's nothing we have that can shoot them down. We will all die, and these are the most...
And Putin has said that's the set default.
That, yeah, it's it. One nuclear weapon used against us, but here's the other default, and this is why the policy of the Biden administration is so insane. Just like us, imagine if Russia put 500,000 troops in Mexico and said they're going to come in and they're going to encourage civil unrest in Texas and then they're going to move in and take Texas. Would we view this as existential in nature, as a threat? And the answer is yes. Would we use everything in our arsenal to prevent this from happening? The answer is yes. So now we go to Ukraine and we're starting to threaten to take Crimea, the Donbass. We're going to physically do this. This is an assault on Russia, just like a force coming out of Mexico.
Why does the whole globalist, neoliberal, neocon, crazy train think they can do this?
Because they don't respect Russia. They don't understand the strength of Russia. They don't think Russia is serious about this, because Russia has been the adult in the room. Russia is the most reasonable nation when it comes to foreign policy and expressing foreign policy out there. And we take that reasonableness as a sign of weakness. The fact that Russia wanted peace, for instance. Why would Russia sue for peace unless they were weak? If Russia was strong, they would never sue for peace. Ladies and gentlemen, Russia's pretty strong, but they want peace. And that's what we need to understand, that we can live together in peaceful coexistence with people if we just stop talking nonsense. And one of the biggest things we have to stop talking about is how we can strategically defeat Russia. We can't.
So, Scott, where are we right now on the doomsday clock in reality? Not just the bulletin and atomic scientists, but in your gut, and what are the real tripwires you see that could bring this to the next level?
I say that we are, they say, 90 seconds now is what they put it at. Ladies and gentlemen, we're a half second away. We're a millisecond away. Why do I say that? Because it takes one mistake. That's it. And we make mistakes every single day. We're all human. In 1995, the Norwegians fired an atmospheric test rocket that the Russians misinterpreted as being a Trident missile being fired at them. It was such a serious event that they put the nuclear football in front of Boris Yeltsin and said, you have to fire their arsenal right now. We're under attack. It was a mistake. Had he pushed the button, none of us would be here. We can't...
Go back over that, because people don't remember that.
Yeah, in 1995. And again, you know, I joke about this. I say, when you meet me, shake my hand and buy me a beer. Because if it weren't for me and other weapons inspectors who implemented the INF treaty that I write about in my book, you'd all be dead. And the reason why I say you'd all be dead is because if those weapons existed in 1995 when that atmospheric test rocket was fired, Boris Yeltsin wouldn't have had 20 minutes to consider. He would have had 7 minutes. And in that seven-minute time, he would have pushed the button and we'd all be dead. But because we got rid of those weapons, we effected disarmament, he had enough time to receive the phone call that said, oops, mistake, he didn't push the button, we're alive. Today, we're talking about getting an environment with the Russians where there's going to be a mistake made, but because there is no arms control, there's going to be no time, the button will be pushed, and we will all die.
And now people like Zelensky say, we want nukes, and other countries in the EU say, give them nukes, and we know that Ukraine already fired missiles into Poland and instantly blamed Russia, and even when it came out that it was their own missiles, they still blamed Russia and called for an attack. Like, I mean, Zelensky is crazy.
100%. I can't use the word a bat something crazy. But it's yours. And he is just spun up crazy. But you know what? Here's the scary part. Zelensky only speaks that which is written by the CIA. He is a puppet. He is Pinocchio.
So the CIA is bat crap crazy.
100%. And the CIA works for a president who's bat crap crazy. And that's the problem. This is why I say the 2024 election is probably the most important election in our history, because this is the election that if it goes the wrong way, we may
Well, let's not- be clear. Yesterday he says, you good-looking kids, I'm going to take you upstairs and give you ice cream at a mass shooting press conference. I mean, it's beyond bizarre.
I can't explain what's going on with the President of the United States other than to say that he lacks the mental capacity to govern effectively. And it's an embarrassment, but it's more than an embarrassment. It's dangerous.
All right. I'm going to try to shut up the next 30 minutes. We come back, two long segments. What do you want to hit Scott Ritter when we come back? And I should add, your book, Disarmament in the Time of Perestroika, is available everywhere. People go to your website, scottritterextra.com. You're going to be speaking at the Liberty Tavern in Elgin, a great place, great barbecue in that area, outside Austin tonight.
Yes, sir, that's where we're going to be doing. What I'd like to talk about is how, Pete, you asked me the question, how can we prevent this? Ladies and gentlemen, we have to learn to stop hating Russians, and when we come back, I'd like to be able to talk to you about how we can do just that.
Well, even if I was a Russophobe, which I'm not, driving them together with China and doing all this is not good for America. I mean,
Joe Biden knew that. That's why he joked about it in 1997. He said, you want to be friends with China? You know, enjoy your senior year. Well, guess what? They're friends with China. And he said, and if that doesn't work, go to Iran. Well, guess what? China, Russia, and Iran are all together, and it's not good for the United States.
And Iran's upping attacks?
Iran is upping again. Cause and effect relationship. Nothing happens in a vacuum. Why is Iran upping attacks? Because we're attacking them.
And we, like you said, we're already in World War III.
We are. We just haven't acknowledged it yet.
The question is, does it go nuclear?
Yes, sir. That's the question.
Scott Ritter's our guest. Back in a few minutes. Everybody, you know, tune in now. He's speaking outside Austin tonight. So there's a real palpable nausea to this for me and a surrealness to it that I'm not a former arms inspector and a, you know, guy that did peace treaties with the Russians or any of that, but I've studied history. It's so interesting. And to see all the doctrines we had before that kept us from destroying ourselves being thrown aside by a bunch of inept people that can barely talk, it has a real bone-chilling effect of being on the eve of destruction here. So Scott Ritter of scottritterextra.com, former head UN inspector in Iraq. In the next 30 minutes, I'm going to try to really shut up and give you the floor because you did a great presentation earlier about where we're at, what's going on, and hopefully ways to stop this.
Well, thank you very much. Look, the biggest problem we face today is, of course, nuclear weapons. And so if we don't find a way to put disarmament first and foremost on the agenda, I'm not saying that in America there's not a lot of problems. We know there are. But what I'm saying is none of those problems matter if none of us are alive. And the one thing that's going to kill us all is nuclear weapons. And a nuclear war is all but inevitable if we continue on the current policy track. And that policy track is one that is operates in total disregard for Russia and in total disregard for the reality of nuclear weapons. We treat nuclear weapons as if they're some sort of toy, some sort of gimmick. We actually have a nuclear warhead, the W-76-2, the low-yield nuclear warhead that we put on a Trident missile on an Ohio-class submarine. It is a usable nuclear weapon. That term alone should send alarm signals to anybody because there's no such thing as a usable nuke. We have actually practiced in war games firing this nuclear weapon against the Russian target in a NATO-type scenario, which is exactly, of course, what's going on in Ukraine right now. So we have a weapon deployed, designed to be used in the very scenario that we're speaking of, because we believe that we can escalate to de-escalate. We can fire a nuclear weapon and get the Russians to back down. Vladimir Putin, the Russian president, again, what you think about him, I don't care, but I will tell you this. When he speaks, listen, because what he says, he means. He doesn't bluff. And he says, one nuclear weapon used against Russia, all the world will die. He said, yes, the Russians will go to heaven as martyrs, but you'll be dead. And that's all that matters. Russia's not going to allow anybody to use nuclear weapons against them. Therefore, when we have a nuclear posture that creates the potential for the use of nuclear weapons, all Americans should be alarmed. Now, people will tell you that Russia's a threat. That's an assessment that people should make. We should determine, is Russia a threat or not a threat? But it has to be done realistically, like anything. You can't solve a problem unless you accurately define the problem first. Because if you haven't defined the problem, the solution you're trying to put in place solves nothing. And right now, we have Russian policies that are focused on Russia that we've defined as an enemy, a threat. And the American people accept that as face value. And again, I'll just say it straight up. You know, you were told everything about Iraq, about weapons of mass destruction, about Saddam Hussein wanting to ruin the world, etc. And we believed it because our government told us that. It all turned out to be a lie. So why don't we understand that when the government today talks about Russia being a threat, it's all a lie? But we are afraid of Russia. And where does that fear come from? Ignorance. We're ignorant about the reality of Russia. And that's because we have a systemic program of Russophobia, where we teach everybody to be afraid of Russia. How many times have you heard, Putin did it, Putin did it, Putin did it, Putin did it?
Oh, I've heard in congressional hearings, Putin gives me orders. I've never been to Russia. I'm just sitting there hearing this. It's just, you know, it's a fraud when they're accusing you of it.
It's 100%. Well, you know, Putin is a powerful leader. He's been around a long time. And I'm not saying that we should treat him, we shouldn't disregard him. I'm just saying we need to be honest about it and accurate about it. And
well, just to interrupt briefly, because I want to give you the floor of the expert, but I've studied World War II and history. For those who don't know, there were like 65 million Germans at the beginning of World War II. There were like 40 million at the end. There were about 70 million Russians. There were about 50 million at the end. Russians lost one-third of their population. They have that in their DNA. And you can say, oh, look, they're fighting all of NATO and Ukraine, and they're losing at some level, winning at others. But to then think you're going to win and beat them themselves, they will go to nuclear war with us. That's, they are going to do it. And people need to understand that Napoleon and Hitler both lost, and we're about to lose too. This is insane.
It's 100%. They lost 27 million people in the Second World War. 27 million people. You know, today, you know, we talk about the Second World War. We talk about the greatest generation. When was the last time we held a Victory in Europe parade to celebrate the heroes of World War II? We don't anymore. We've forgotten all about them, because that's what we do.
But that's Russia's biggest holiday.
May 9th is Victory Day, and on May 9th, because there's no more World War II veterans, the Russian population goes to the street in what they call the Immortal Regiment. They carry photographs of their grandfathers, their fathers, anybody who served, anybody who serves today, because they truly honor and respect the men and women who sacrificed everything.
And let that number sink in, 27 million.
27 million. You know, we lost a little over 300,000 casualties in World War II in both theaters. They lost 27 million people. So when people talk about, is Russia serious when they talk about defending themselves, they're 27 million dead bodies serious. It's a number that needs to sink in.
That's a scary number.
It's a huge number. It's a mind-boggling number. And it's one, when you travel Russia, you can't go into a village without seeing a World War II memorial. And it's not the old Kremlin memorials.
So that's the thing, is they're culturally ready for major death.
They don't want it, though.
Exactly.
But they understand what's necessary to defend their homeland, and they will do everything necessary to defend their homeland. So we have to ask ourselves, why are we threatening their homeland? What threat does Russia pose against us? And the answer is, frankly speaking, zero. No threat whatsoever.
Well, I have four children, and I am fundamentally pissed they're doing this. I'm so mad at the neocons and the globalists. I'm so sick of Lindsey Graham. I'm so sick of Barack Obama. I am just so sick of the Bushes. These damn people should be in prison.
Thank you very much. But nope, we're going to put Julian Assange in prison for telling the truth, for exposing the lies. But the war criminals who got...
So what do we do to stop it? We know we're... I mean, oh, we'll do this. Next time we'll do that. Timeline. How fast could this war kick off? Any minute?
This war could happen today, could happen tomorrow, could happen next week, it could happen in a year, it could happen in a year and a half. We don't know. What we do know is the conditions are there for war, and that should...
And NATO has said they're digging in for 5 years of war.
NATO. Yep, I mean, NATO says it. We'll see if they can afford it. They're sort of they're bankrupt ideologically, they're bankrupt fiscally. Who knows what NATO's future is? But the bottom line is, as long as NATO's part of an American policy that says we seek the strategic defeat of Russia, then it's a problem.
Well, I know nobody can tell the future, but what do you see happening?
70% of me says we're all going to die. So go out and get drunk tonight, because you might as well live high.
It's funny. That's a gut level. I feel like people don't get we're on the edge of destruction here.
We are literally on. But I'm also an optimist, because like you, I have two daughters. I have twin daughters, and I want them to have children. And I want to be able to play with my grandchildren. And I'd like to believe that they'd want to be grandparents at some point in their life. That isn't going to happen if the world doesn't exist. So we got to stop being complacent. We have to stop waiting for somebody else to do something. Ladies and gentlemen, the onus is on you. The burden is on you. You have got to make the decision that you want to live. Therefore, you have to become engaged and insist whoever is in power in 2024 has to make arms control the number one policy objective of the United States, because if we don't bring nuclear weapons under control, my children aren't.
And without even making it partisan, I got big problems with Trump, but he seems better one in the war. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Tulsi Gabbard. I mean, who do you support?
You know, Donald Trump has put a standard out there right now that's unmatched. I mean, first of all, he's inconsistent. He's the man that pulled out of my treaty, the INF treaty. That's on him. And I blame him for that. And he's going to have to explain that to me someday, why he did that. He pulled out of the Iran nuclear agreement. That's on him. He has to explain to me why he did that. But he's the only guy that sat down with Kim Jong-un, had three meetings with Kim Jong-un to seek denuclearization. And had Biden picked that ball up, we wouldn't have North Korean ICBMs aimed at the United States today. But we do today because Donald Trump had the vision.
All right, stay there. Let's talk about Trump when we come back. Final segment with Scott Ritter. He'll be at the Liberty Tree Tavern in Elgin tonight. You can get his book, Disarmament in the Name of Perestroika, on his website, scottritterextra.com. Couldn't be a more important topic, folks. And I know the average American doesn't have a passport, thinks of Russia as like the Mars. No, folks, their missiles are 7 minutes away. As we went to break, I made the point that Americans are great people, but they have the lowest level of passport ownership of any industrialized country. And people think of Russia as like it's Pluto or something, or it's Mars. It's not. Their submarines are off our coast, just a few minutes with nukes. And they've been very restrained so far, but now their rhetoric is extremely threatening because NATO is on their border and moving weapons into the area. This is insanity. I wanted to play the short clip of Planet of the Apes, which is a hypothetical fictional by Rod Serling, a great American World War II veteran and patriot, about the astronauts come back through a time warp and think they're on an alien planet. It's really Earth. And Charlton Heston learns at the end that he's back in New York City and that everything was destroyed by a nuclear war. Here it is.
Time. We finally, really did it. You maniacs! You blew it up! Oh, damn you! God damn you all to hell!
Every major analyst, doesn't matter who they are, agrees that it is now a probability we're going to have a nuclear war, not a chance. We're in World War III now, sleepwalking in destruction. Scott Ritter, who is the trailblazer, can only think of one other person who's done more than him, and that's Julian Assange, trying to stop this. We've got this segment and one more, sir. I'm going to try to shut up now. Any other things you want to warn people about?
Well, I just want to emphasize how serious this is. This is not a joke. I know a lot of times people come on air and they try to hype things up to get your attention, et cetera. No, this is the end of the world. That clip right there, thank you for playing that, because that's literally our future. Everything's going to be destroyed. Anything you plan on being, any future you plan on having, your children, your grandchildren, they won't be here. Nuclear war is serious stuff. How do we stop it? You asked the question, and we talked about 2024, and we talked about Donald Trump.
You got caught up with the break, yeah.
Yeah. Donald Trump has put a standard out there. Whatever you think about Donald Trump, let's put that aside for a second, because, again, we need to stop this rush towards nuclear war. And when you have a candidate that says not only what he said last time, why can't we be friends with Russia? Reflect on that for a second. People mocked him. Why can't we be friends with Russia? Could you imagine that if we'd actually followed through on that, where we'd be today? We wouldn't be on the precipice of a nuclear conflict. That's for darn sure. Well,
plus, their resources are the biggest on the earth. It's a bonanza.
Look, if you can't do business with Russia, you can't do business with anybody. You know, they got a lot of stuff, and they want to do business with us. But we're the ones who shut it all down because, Look, we have a military-industrial complex that needs a sense of conflict around the war to justify an $800 billion defense budget. Russia's been picked as the enemy, even though they don't want to be the enemy. You know, in Texas, we're in Texas right now. There's a great Texan named Van Cliburn. Study your history. He plays the piano, played the piano. In 1959, Van Cliburn went to the Soviet Union to enter the Tchaikovsky Musical Festival. And he played before a record crowd. He won. He played Beethoven, and he came in first place. They gave him the first place prize. In the history of the United States, in New York City, Avenue of the Heroes, we put astronauts, we put politicians, we put war heroes. Only one musician has ever been given the ticker tape parade. That was Van Cliburn. Why? Because he had the courage to go to the Soviet Union and break down the walls of ignorance and learn to interact with them as people. You say, what can we do? We all have to become our own Van Cliburn. We all have to be able to go on a journey where we break through the walls of ignorance, the walls of fear, to reach out and touch these people. One of the things I write about in my book is my experience. Alex, I'm not lying when I tell you, I joined the Marine Corps to kill Russians. I joined in the 1980s, the Cold War. My job was to kill Russians, and I trained hard to do just that. But then I got involved in the implementation of this treaty, and I got to go over there and work for 2.5 years, and I met them. Their mothers, their fathers, their sisters, their brothers, their uncles, their aunts, their grandparents. They laugh, they cry, they weep, they chuckle, they chortle. They do everything we do because they are us. They speak a different language. They have different cultural, you know, peculiarities. We like barbecue. They like shashlik, but it's the same thing. Ladies and gentlemen, if you took the chance, the opportunity to go out and meet them, you wouldn't fear them. You'd love them. Because they are you.
But U.S. polls show 80% are against a war. I think Americans know that.
We are, but the question is, how do you translate that? Now we come down to, again, Donald Trump. He's put a standard out there. If you don't like Donald Trump, embrace the standard. Say, okay, I'm not going to vote for Trump, but I'm only going to vote for somebody who believes in what Trump has said. NATO is bad. Nuclear weapons are bad. We need to embark on a policy that embraces arms control. You mentioned Tulsi Gabbard. She's a good candidate. Give her a chance. Robert Kennedy. A good candidate, if he announces, give him a chance. Don't pick on the little
stuff.
Well,
think how great it'd be with Democrats when they had good candidates again. They didn't used to be this. He'd be a wonderful candidate.
I think he'd be an outstanding. Hey, Robert, if you're watching, announce, buddy. Announce. Get your name out there so the American people can start considering your platform. Because
hell, they killed his dad because he was a good guy.
And please don't give anybody, I'm not saying that, but Robert.
No, I'm just saying he knows. Yeah, I know, he knows what he's up
against. He knows the family history. The American people will protect you, Robert. If you announce,
yeah, I didn't mean that as like a way for him not to. I'm just saying.
No, no, I know.
He knows.
He knows. He's fully aware of his.
He can tell us all about the deep state.
Right, and here's the thing about Robert Kennedy, because he knows and he still has the courage to run. That's the kind of guy you want. The kind of guy that puts country before self. The kind of guy that says, "I'm here for you, not for me." That's the kind of guy we need, kind of gal we need leading our country.
And don't we need peaceful mass protests now for peace and against World War III?
Alex, I'm glad you brought that up. In 1982, June 1982, there was a million-person march gathering in Central Park, New York City, that broke the freeze on arms control. 5 years later, we got the Intermediate Nuclear Forces Treaty. One of my visions is that in June of 2024, we put a million Americans in the street again to send a signal to every presidential candidate that nuclear disarmament is our number one objective. And I hope we could do it. And I tell you what, if we make it happen, I encourage everybody here to go out in the streets, whether it's in Austin, Dallas, Houston, come to New York City, go somewhere, get in the street and send a signal. And people say, well, demonstrations don't work. They worked in 1982. A million people told Ronald Reagan, the ultimate Cold Warrior, that they believed in arms control. And 5 years later, a man who called the Soviet Union the evil empire did his own Van Cliburn
journey. That's been a right-wing fetish. Oh, let's have a bunch of nukes. Well, what about bioweapons? Oh, you see, the West just made COVID and all this. And even the former head of the CDC said, we made it. We need to stop the bioweapons. We need to stop the nukes. We need to stop it all.
We need to stop it all. You're 100% correct.
And I think there's really a way to do it if people get serious.
I agree 100%. Look, America's the greatest country on the planet. I know the foreigners out there get mad when I say it. but I believe it just like you believe your country's greatest. If we put our mind to something, there's nothing we can't do. And there's no more important subject or issue to put your mind to than saving your lives.
Well, here's another. 10 years ago, or 15 years ago, the San Francisco Chronicle was at a Pentagon briefing, and the Air Force said, we're testing antimatter weapons, but it's classified. We can't tell you. Well, the numbers I've seen is they've already created stuff. If you think they came up with atomic bombs in the 40s, imagine what they've got now. What if we make a weapon that blows the whole solar system up? We just don't need to make it. It's got to stop.
And the way you make it stop is to break through the ignorance-based fear so we no longer feel there's a threat out there worthy of the weapon. I'm telling you right now, Alex, my own.
Well, it's like they're using TikTok with the Chinese to then set up something 100 times worse. Have you seen this bill? Total surveillance, total censorship, total control, 10 times worse than the Chi-Coms in the name of stopping TikTok.
I understand. Look, it's insanity. We, the people of the United States of America, in order to form a more perfect union, have to get off our butts and get out there and start taking action.
No, I was backing up what you're saying. They're using one threat to make a threat way worse.
100%. 100%. And why? Because we buy it. Because we sit at home and we go, okay, yes, we nod compliantly. How many Americans, now I hear everybody say, Scott, I didn't believe there was weapons of mass destruction. Okay, but where were you when they were making the case? Complacency silence is just as bad as believing the lie.
And again, Russia is 7 minutes away. It is not Mars. We'll be right back with more comments from Scott Ritter. We'll be right back. Final segment, Scott Ritter in studio. He's speaking at the Liberty Tree Tavern in Elgin tonight. Get his book, Disarmament in a Time of Perestroika. I want to invite you back very soon. Great to have you in studio. I interviewed you 15 years ago a couple times, but you're here with us in studio. But you were making some really great points about there are really no secrets. It's all just common sense. So in 5 minutes, closing comments.
Well, look, I was an intelligence officer for a number of years, and I'm not bragging, but I had the highest security clearances the country can give somebody. And what I've learned is that what we call classified information that we keep secret, yeah, there's a reason we keep it secret, but it's really just common sense. If you actually think through a problem, you'll figure out what we're doing. And the Russians are the same thing. We're trying to keep secret from them that which they are doing against us. We have the same capabilities. We have the same implementation strategies, et cetera. And so it's stupid that we're basically doing this dance. And you have in the background right here, Dr. Strangelove, a great movie. You know, when I was a weapons inspector in Russia, we actually showed this movie to our Soviet counterparts. And as Americans, we were laughing the whole time because it's just a funny movie. It's hilarious. Peter Sellers is a genius. George C. Scott, brilliant. The Russians are aghast. They're going, what kind of movie is this? And we said, well, it's a comedy about thermonuclear war. They said, why would you ever joke about this? It's not funny. And there's the difference. A nation that lost 27 million people and a nation that only lost 300,000 people. A nation that had their country destroyed by a German occupation force and a nation that had nothing happen to it whatsoever. We find thermonuclear war entertaining. They find it the scariest thing on the planet.
And I got to hand it to the Germans in a bad way. And then, and the Russians, I guess, killed 20 million of them or more. The damn Nazis were good at killing people. I mean, that takes a lot of stuff to kill that many people.
They were a nation that was geared towards the destruction of humanity. And every American owes a debt of gratitude to those 27 million Soviets who gave their lives in defeat of Nazi Germany. You know, we went across the beach in Normandy. We fought in France. And I'm not denigrating the courage of anybody who participated in that conflict. That pales in comparison to what...
Eisenhower said we were a distraction for the Russian force.
I mean, we fought dozens of German divisions. They fought hundreds of German divisions. We killed hundreds of thousands of Germans. They killed millions of Germans.
Yeah, both my grandfathers in the Army Air Corps, and both of them almost died. So it was a real war for America. My dad's uncle, you know, went down in a merchant marine ship bringing supplies to Russia. So it was a real war. But imagine 27 million.
You can't. That's the problem. But here's another thing. General Cavoli, the commander of U.S. forces in Europe right now, he spoke in Sweden in January to a defense forum. And he talked about the war that's going on right today in Ukraine, because most Americans read it and we think of Hollywood movies, et cetera. He said that NATO could not imagine the scope and scale of the violence that's taking place to there. NATO, the most powerful military alliance, the one that we're in, said they couldn't imagine it, which means NATO's not trained, equipped, prepared to fight that kind of fight. We don't understand that kind of violence that's taking place between the Ukrainians and the Russians today. And that was what was happening.
It's an incredible Slavic civil war.
It's a tragic Slavic civil war, one that didn't need to be fought. And understand this, people of America watching this show, We're the ones to blame. We started this war. Every dead Ukrainian, the blood of every dead Ukrainian is on our collective
hands. George Soros brags he helped start it.
And George Soros should be brought to the docket and given the appropriate punishment.
All right, 60 seconds left. Scott Ritter, great to have you in the studio.
Thank you very much for having me, and I hope we can have this conversation again. I hope we're given the opportunity to have this conversation again, that we're both here.
Wow. I mean, the public has already been against the war. They're turning against it more, but the policymakers don't care. Like you said, we should protest, we should get involved, and we should say no to the neocons and neoliberals that want us.
100%. Again, I'll just make one last appeal. When I get on air at some point in the future and I ask you to take to the streets to lend your voice to the multitudes we need to send a signal to Washington, D.C., please take time out of your day to do just that. If we put a couple million people in the streets in support of the cause of disarmament, we just might be able to push that righteous cause into the victory column, and then we all get to live.
Well, right-wingers, nationalists should really be against this. It's not their instinct to protest war. They need to now. But where are the liberals? I mean, they are like frothing for war now. It's so sad.
100% sad. The Democrats are only anti-war when Republicans in office.
All right, Scott Ritter, thank you so much. Special guest is coming up 1 hour, Owen Schroyer. Orem, thank you so much, sir.
Thank you for having me, sir.
Folks, come out and see him tonight at the Liberty Tree Tavern in Elgin. And hopefully we'll be here tomorrow. Kate Daly takes over.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm Kate Daly, your guest host from The Kate Daly Show, katedalyradio.com. So glad to be with you. All right, I'll say it. I've got so many questions about Monday. I've got to ask some questions here. And I could be wrong. I just want to throw some of the most obvious things out there and ask you, I guess, you, what you think about some of these things that went down in the shooting on Monday. I'm just perplexed. So let me share some things that jumped out at me, if I could do that with you. The Covenant House shooting. I'm still kind of reeling from it because some things didn't add up or make sense, and I just wanted to share those things with you. So this happens at 10 in the morning, 11 minutes after 10 Eastern time. And Hale goes in, and who had not yet been identified, wearing a red hat. Usually transgenders don't like to wear red hats because red hats signify MAGA. But anyway, so wearing a red hat, shoots her way into the school, the glass doors, and the alarm goes off. The alarm sounds in the school. You can see the alarm. And I have a question. Not one person went to go see what was happening. Not one adult, because you don't automatically know that something is gunfire. Sometimes it can sound a little different, or you hear the crashing of glass or what have you, but there was some time for he, him, her, to get into the building, and nobody came out. Nobody came out to see what had happened. And I found that to be strange. And then I thought that it was weird that she, him, her was walking around the school and looking indoors, and no one was coming out. There wasn't a soul in sight. I thought that was really, really strange. This was actually a pretty fast event. Within 10 minutes, the cops were on site. And I do have a lot of questions about the body cam footage, because I thought the body cam footage was really strange. But this person, obviously going in and out of doors and not really able to kind of understand, like almost like looking like they're lost, don't really know where they are. And I thought this person went to this school previously. But I did think it was strange that not one person was in view. The whole time we're seeing any footage of this shooter in the school, there's not one person on site. Now, the school is a two-decker school, and they have 600 students. So I'm guessing maybe a couple hundred students are down in the classrooms below, I would imagine. Usually you have your little kids up, you know, downstairs and your bigger kids upstairs, and this is a K-6 school. So from 10:11 to 10:23, everyone moved upstairs to the second level. I'm not quite sure how they did that with several hundred students and so quietly, but it seems that every single staff member, every single administration member, every teacher, every student, somehow, they said in the articles, they were shepherded upstairs. How were they shepherded upstairs with pale walking around, noticing everything. How did they all get upstairs? It was really, really strange. So within 10 minutes, they have one person outside to greet the officers that come. So this person tells the officers that everyone is upstairs. I'm not quite sure how she knew that, but maybe they had a plan before. Everyone is upstairs, but there's two kids missing. How did she know there were two kids missing? Doesn't even make sense. She's outside, okay? So they unlock the door and they go in, and on the body cam footage, which was really, I found really to be strange, there's no timestamp. There's even a timestamp on the security footage at the school, but no timestamp. Isn't there an Axiom timestamp that happens on the body cams? I'm pretty sure there is a real timestamp, that a running timestamp that happens, but I didn't see that on the body cam footage for the officer coming in. So they're going in, and she says they're on the second floor, and they're going down the hallway, and it looks like some shots might be going off, but nothing's really nicked or anything. And then all of a sudden, the guy with the body cam is in the back, and there seems to be officers already inside the room, and the perpetrator is just basically there, standing there, I guess, waiting to be shot, not hiding behind anything, not hiding behind a couch, not doing anything, but right in front of these glass windows. And the glass windows don't shatter. The furniture isn't broken. The floor around the person is, I mean, there was a pretty healthy hail of gunfire, but yet everything stayed pretty much intact. Later on, they showed a picture of a hole through the window, and a piece of the glass on the inside broken out. But usually it would all shatter, which is kind of strange, because if you look at the shooter coming into the school, all the glass pretty much shattered when shot at. But anyway, so they shoot the perpetrator, but the perpetrator wasn't even hiding. The shooter was the shooter just standing there waiting to be shot in an empty room with glass behind him? I just didn't understand that. It almost looked to me like it was like a drill footage where you walk in and everything is kind of set, you know exactly where you're going, and you look in some of the rooms as they were upstairs and not a soul to be found anywhere in the videos. I found that to be really strange. So this all happened in 10 minutes. In 10 minutes, all the kids, hundreds of them, were somehow shepherded upstairs without anyone noticing, without the shooter noticing, without a single soul in the hallway. No footage of that, apparently, to be seen. They're not showing any footage of the kids going upstairs. And then there's no footage of the kids coming out of the school. There's 600 children at this school. Not one single shot of the kids walking out. Just a string of 12 kids holding hands, going to a bus that's by some trees that looks like it's away from the school. But where's all the kids? I remember in Columbine, you saw all the kids leaving the school, right? There was no kids leaving the school like that. And so I wondered where all that footage was. I mean, obviously they've got the footage. They had cameras in the school. So I'm wondering why they didn't show, even with the faces etched, why didn't they show the kids moving from one floor to another? Maybe that would be helpful in the future for other schools to see how they did this giant feat of 10 minutes in 10 minutes, absolutely without the shooter noticing, getting them upstairs. Also, they say that they don't know, even though they have cameras in the school, they don't know exactly the path the shooter took or how the person was able to shoot three adults and three kids and not injure anybody. Usually with gunfire, I would imagine you're injuring some people, you don't have dead and then alive. You've got people injured from stray bullets or whatnot. And especially because usually in these situations, they keep all the kids together, right? In a group. So how did that happen? How did you have that happen? It still is a real big mystery to me that I'm still trying to figure out. And, you know, condolences to the people killed, of course. It's just nothing about the footage makes sense. They waited as the guy got into the room. There were cops ahead of him, but they waited for him with the body cam to shoot the perpetrator who wasn't hiding. That to me was really strange. If you've got officers standing there in the room already or already approaching the room, why would they not shoot the perpetrator? Why wait for the guy with the body cam? That never made sense to me. So then, all of this happens within 15 minutes. Parents were notified at 10:30, start arriving to the school. That takes a second to do that. I mean, it takes a minute to do that. And they said that at 11 a.m., they began arriving at the University Medical Center. There was no coroner on site. Where was the coroner? There was an ambulance, a picture of an ambulance, but the ambulance was never used. The ambulance was sitting there. There was not even a paramedic to be found. No paramedics, just nobody working on anybody. But they said that they went to the hospital at 11. Oddly enough, within 30 minutes, they were already printing all of this in the newspapers. I found that to be really strange, too. Don't you need some time to counsel with the families of the victims before you start having all of these pictures ready to go and hitting the newspapers? It was really, really strange. A lot of this I found to be really, really strange. I'll be right back on The Alex Jones Show. Kate Daly, your guest host from Kate Daly Radio. Welcome back to The Alex Jones Show. I'm Kate Daly, your guest host. I'm just asking the obvious questions that stuck out to me immediately upon watching the body cam footage that they immediately released. And I mean immediately released. Usually it takes a while to get that footage. And the footage of the perpetrator in the school, usually it takes a while to get that as well. So I was kind of thinking that was a little strange, and things just popped out at me that didn't make sense. So I'm reaching out to all of you to kind of see, you know, what makes sense about this? Or what doesn't make sense about this, I should say. But I have to voice these things or I'll go nuts, because these things are very, very, to me, pretty obvious about the fact that none of this makes any common sense. So let me kind of go through this with you just a little bit. So the shooter walks into the school, or after blowing out the doors, nobody comes to check or see what's happening. And then, of course, you have this perpetrator just kind of walking around the school, looking in the doors. Usually somebody with a vengeance wants, you know, they have a certain place they want to know or get to because they went to the school. Obviously, that's what we were told. And you would think they would know, but they're going in every single door, like looking in every single door. It was kind of strange. Nobody was in these doors. So I found that to be a little strange. And how did they get everybody upstairs in just 8 or 9 minutes, right, before the cops got there, because nobody was downstairs. And that was pretty obvious when the cops were downstairs. So, and the person outside said that they were told to go up stairs, that everybody was upstairs. That's really fast. From the moment you hear or you see, or I would hear in this case, the doors being shot out, and then all of a sudden they're upstairs. So I did think that was really, really strange. And the two kids missing thing was really strange too. So why didn't they just arrest the perpetrator? The perpetrator was in a room by themselves. Why didn't they just, they weren't around a bunch of children. The perpetrator was standing there, not hiding. And so why didn't they just arrest the person, you know, incapacitate and arrest? I'm just curious, because a lot of these cases, the person ends up dead, but it's just kind of strange. As the cops were going through the classrooms, no kids were anywhere, as you're seeing the footage right now. So I'm just kind of wondering how they all got upstairs or where they all went. There wasn't a lot of buses waiting for the kids to bring them to another location. So I'm wondering where the shot of all the buses are to load in 600 kids is a lot of buses and a lot of kids. So how did they get them from point A to point B, where the parents could pick them up? Nobody knows. Nobody seems to know where that footage is. But everybody scattered really, really fast. So I also wondered, the police chief said the motive was vengeance early in the morning the next day. But then later in a newscast, the police chief said they didn't know what the motive was at all. And so I thought that was kind of strange too, because they did know the motive. They were saying the motive, and it was vengeance going back to the school for vengeance. So I did think that was a little strange as well. So like I said, nobody was injured, either deceased or alive, but nobody injured by a stray bullet. I did find that to be a little weird. I don't know how rare that is, but I'm sure it's very, very rare that you would have a person who is only 28 years old, who is not probably an aficionado in guns, but would have had to have been a pretty excellent marksman to be able to do that. It was kind of strange too. She was loaded up with guns, and the guns, obviously they never use all those guns, but it seemed like there were a lot of guns involved that he had on their person, but I don't know that there was even time to use all of those. So I always wonder about that. I thought that was kind of strange too. When Fox 17 in Nashville came out with the news report only 20 minutes later, I thought that was kind of weird that they were already naming the people involved, and I don't even know if they had time to even go to the families to tell them. I thought the timing was, it was really fast. It was really fast. This footage was fast. They went right to where it seemed like the perpetrator was, and then shot the perpetrator to death. Still no coroner on scene. That was strange. One woman said in a news report, which I found so weird, "I think I lost my daughter today." Well, they were putting the names out very, very quickly. And so I'm not sure why she would have been so confused as to whether or not she lost her daughter. But it was a really strange statement. I thought, "I think I lost my daughter today." Normally, by the time you're interviewed and identified as the parent, you would have known, they would have told you. And so that was really strange. They had the student on the bus with the handprint against the bus, but no other kids shown through the windows. That was a little strange too. I thought that was a little weird. No other kids shown on the bus, just her. The shooter, I'm sure you've seen by now, wearing Puma shoes, walking around the school, and then it switched to the Vans. I think it was Vans in the shot where they were laying down on the ground. So I thought that was the shoe switcheroo, if that happened. Maybe it didn't, but it seems as though they were different shoes. That was, I thought, kind of strange too. If you notice in this cam shot that you're seeing right now, I'm not seeing a lot of glass break or anything. I'm not seeing anything. Anyway. It's just kind of strange, but the glass didn't shatter behind the perpetrator. That was a little strange. There's just so many things about this that don't add up. So the body cam, like I said, was released really fast, almost too fast. And there was a manifesto and a message involved. So we knew exactly why the person did what they did, which I know happens in Law and Order shows, but usually that doesn't happen. Usually the person is going to go do what they're going to go do without a lot of "this is why I'm doing it" conclusionary, what happens in a Law and Order episode. So I did find that to be really strange. Also, all the pics that are shown again are cops standing around shooting the breeze. Like, "Hey, Bob, what's for lunch?" Nobody in a hurry, nobody, an ambulance sitting there, a cop motorcycle sitting there, and maybe two cars with two officers standing around, not doing a lot. It's kind of reminiscent of other things or other shootings that I've seen take place where the officers are just standing there. There's no hurry. They're not really doing anything, which I found to be kind of odd. Nobody ever seemed like they were in a hurry. The officers that walked in with the body cam were in a hurry to get into the school, but nobody else was. And when I saw there was not one photo of a coroner ready to, you know, declare death or take out, the victims, I thought that was really strange too. In some other shootings, they said they waited till the nighttime to do it, which I thought was really kind of strange as well. But there's never any explanation for any of that. So we're just left with this happened in 15 minutes, and I'm not really quite sure how they maneuvered all those 600 kids around and why. So really, I want to talk about that when I get back. Why this? And I also want to share with you some points to be made about why, about maybe why they're doing this as to us as a group, wanting us to see these things. Be right back on The Alex Jones Show. I'm Kate Daly, your guest host. Happy to be with you today. Back with you on The Alex Jones Show. Usually a coroner goes in to identify the dead. They do some work on the crime scene. Everything about a crime scene usually stays intact so they can go in and do an investigation. In this case, everybody was sent to the hospital within minutes of being killed, I guess. And I don't know where all the ambulances were to take them, but five of them were transported to the hospital where they said they later pronounced them dead. But the news reports were out 20 minutes after that. And 20 minutes after that, they were already identifying the dead, which was really kind of a strange thing. Usually you'd probably want to get to the parents and make sure that the parents were told. So I found that to be really kind of odd. So why I have all these obvious questions. No footage came out to show you the 600 kids leaving the school or being transported or how they got upstairs or where they were inside the building. Not one child, not one administrator was ever shown. And that's why I thought it looked very much like a drill footage. Maybe they were confusing the two. Maybe they had a drill and were showing that as the actual footage. I don't know. But why would they do this? Why the trans? So a lot of shooters end up being the same MO, right? The lonely basement dweller male who has some mental problems, who has a feed on Facebook with pictures, usually neo-Nazi. You know, they usually like to categorize these guys. And then they're usually always in their 20s. They don't know very much about guns or they haven't really had much life experience to shoot guns, but then they become an aficionado in these kinds of situations. And excellent marksmen are able to do what they want to carry out, which I always find kind of strange, but they're always in that same age group. And now it was this transgender person. And it's not like we haven't had that happen before. But I did find it kind of strange. I thought, is this a way to get everybody to kind of focus on, oh, it must be real. This person's a little different than the regular kind of shooter. So this event needs to be obviously taken very seriously for trans vengeance. They're having Trans Vengeance Week or Day or whatever it is in Tennessee. So I thought that was kind of strange. And, you know, I wonder sometimes if all of this is to move us again to the right. You know, we were always shifted. So after Bush and after the Patriot Act, and we got, you know, that was already written long before, and we got a war that in a place that shouldn't have been, and the weapons of mass destruction, all of those lies. And then they moved us into Obama as a moderate answer. And Obama at the time was telling everyone, yes, I'm going to go after the NSA and I'm going to do all these things, which of course, all he did was strengthen them. Total lies from the beginning. But a lot of people bought into it, even on the Republican side. They were okay if Obama got in. They kind of shifted everybody towards the left. Then I think now they're shifting everybody back towards the right. Whether that's to build a giant war budget, we seem to, on the right, I've been a registered Republican my whole life. It seems like we always turn a blind eye to the incredible war budgets. And then also we turn a blind eye to kind of the NSA, all of those things, everything for our safety. We really don't say much about it. And so do they need 4 years of that? Do they need 8 years of that? Who knows? But it seems to be a big shift to the right. It's kind of like why they showed the Biden footage of him talking about ice cream and joking around. And for a solid 10 minutes before he ever says, and maybe now I should talk about the shooting. And they wanted you to see that. Otherwise, they would have hidden it. They wanted him. He's very, very scripted. They wanted him to look like a moron. They wanted you to see how inept he is and how incredibly how he says things and puts his foot in his mouth every 24 seconds. I mean, this is something they want you to see. So that only leads me to believe that they really want you to, or want people in general, because only about, I would say, less than half the country would be Democrat, right? Registered Democrat. And he only got 6% of the vote in 2016. So that leads me to believe that probably even less than that, maybe 3 or 4%
even condone him as a president or think he's even doing a good job. You've got 3-4% Democrat in this country that's brain dead, that would think he was doing a great job. Okay. So in that case, they keep telling us all that his numbers are high, yet the numbers are very low. But they want you to see this. They wanted you to know he had documents in his garage. They would have just hidden it like they do everything else. They want you to see that he's incredibly inept and horrifying, because his own party thinks he's this way too. And that shifts everybody to the right again. And so I wanted to put that out there because I think there's a couple of things going on with that, but I did find that to be really interesting. The things that I'm always looking for when we see something that the media takes a hold of and brings forth the gun control message right away, and I mean out of the gate, these are some of the things I look for in these shootings, because oftentimes these are the things that don't make sense. The media can't get the facts straight. They can't detail the exact weapon that's going on right now. They don't even know what hardly to call it, except for assault weapon. They don't even know what that is, or automatic weapon. And so you've got the confusion. Then you have an assailant that's a loner between the ages of 18 to 29, which in this case, yes, that's it. Story doesn't add up. The numbers change dramatically. The assailant has skills to do a massacre without any training or any known training, or ends up dead or sent to a mental hospital, either one or the other. And you never hear from them again when they're sent to a mental hospital, but the assailant ends up dead. The media will talk about it 24/7. In this case, that's exactly what's happening. There's been other shootings and that hasn't done anything. And no one will ever say that the gun violence rate is lower than 1% in this country. That is a really low percentage. And why? Because over 90% of our country is armed, right? Legally armed. And so you're not going to have a high gun crime rate. It still isn't high. But get them to admit that, they never will. They never will. They'll tell you that guns are killing everybody in the country when they're not. It's well under 1%. And I mean well under 1%. They have between 13,000 and 15,000 deaths a year. That is not a lot in a country with as many millions as we have, 333 million people. So gun control will be the center of every interview and every statement that's happening right now. It happens in a place that most figure is safe. This is a church school. How could you get any safer than this, right? With no motive that can translate to a specific place. And the assailant will post in social media so that you know the motive. In this case, there was a manifesto and also a message sent right before the perpetrator goes in, which I always find kind of convenient and really strange. Bad guys don't usually do that. They do it in movies. They do it in scripted movies, but they don't usually tell you why they're doing what they're doing. The government wants to usually destroy the evidence or the buildings that it happened in right after the event, and then missing police tapes. And so you don't have all the tapes of the kids. Where are all the kids? Only 12 kids were shown holding hands, going to a bus. That's it, 12 kids. Where's the rest of the 600 children? How did they flee? Wouldn't that be good information for other schools to know how they did that? Why aren't they releasing any of that? Do they not have it? The news will tell you a story, but no evidence of that story. And of course, missing ambulances, gurneys, and coroners, no coroners on site. And the government will be quick to do a payout, all coordinated millions to go to GoFundMe accounts. And then, of course, major confusion about the timeline. Still right now, they're saying that they don't know the path that the perpetrator took in the school, but the whole school is camered. So I'm not quite sure how they don't know that. So I wish they'd come forward with that. And victims are usually newer to the area, and families express words. But like that one comment, I think I lost my daughter today. It was a really strange comment. Nobody says it like that. Well, why would you say something like that as a mother? You either know or you didn't. The news was coming out 20 minutes after they were at the hospital. So of course you would know. And then of course, we've got the cop with the body cam. For some reason, all the other cops wanted to make sure that the cop with the body cam took the assailant out. I'm still wondering why that is. It doesn't make sense to me. If you're on site and somebody's a threat, then why would you not just take them out? But the guy with the body cam clearly had to be the guy to do it, even though he was behind the other cops. So I thought that was kind of strange, too. A lot didn't add up for me, and I have to bring these questions forward because I'm sure they can answer them, right?
I'm sure these things can be answered. I'll be right back on The Alex Jones Show. Welcome back to The Alex Jones Show, final segment. So happy to be with you today. And, you know, the things I'm discussing are very, very sensitive, I know, and sensitive for a lot of people. And so I hate to be left with so many questions. I had so many questions, so many overwhelming questions, looking at strange footage that just didn't seem to add up. And I was perplexed by it and thought that I would bring those same questions to you. Maybe you can answer those questions. Because there was too many of them. And so I thought, this is kind of strange that I'm left with so many puzzling questions after this shooting. The news 24/7 cycle right now is all about gun control and a lot of people calling for gun control and, of course, going to Biden to tell him to do it. And him saying that Congress needs to pass more and more gun control. And I obviously love to be an armed country. So the idea of losing my Second Amendment bothers me based on a single incident. And so I know that that would bother you too, because crime with guns isn't exactly our biggest issue in this country, with it well under 1% of actual crime in this country goes to guns. But they never say that in the media, and they never will. Going back, I did a lot of research going back on incidences in schools, in shootings, and I thought that you might find this a little interesting. In the 1950s, they had 5 incidents. And when I say incidents, I don't mean shootings. I mean the fact that somebody had a gun that accidentally went off because you could bring, they even had target practice for one of the classes at schools across the country. You could bring guns to school. This was not a big deal in this country at all. And so to see, you know, guns in the back of a pickup or in the window of a pickup was not a big deal. In the 1950s, there were only 5 incidences, and only a couple of them in the entire country, in the entire decade, even resulted in an incident where somebody was hurt and was targeted, okay? And so I thought that was kind of interesting in the 1950s. In the 1960s, you had about 10. So it went from 5 to 10 and over the entire decade. And it was a targeted revenge on a teacher, and then some high school incidences that were incidences of somebody bringing something to school or thought to be, could be harmful, but not really. So there really wasn't much happening in those 2 decades. In the 1970s, they had 17 incidences, and mostly, save just 2 of them, they were targeted vengeance against somebody, another student or a teacher at the school. And then in the 80s, we had 28 incidences. And this is like over the entire country, millions and millions and millions of people, 28 incidences. And those incidences were gang retaliation or teacher against a teacher, taking out a teacher for sleeping with his wife. Or one event had, only one event had higher casualties in the entire 1980s. And these incidences were off on the school grounds with gang violence, different things like that. Not what we see now since in the last 2 decades. In the last 2 decades, this is far, far different. So in the 1990s, it went up to 48 incidences, but these were like arguments over girls off campus, mostly gang incidences, all 48, mostly gang, and suicide pacts, things like that. So just not your... just not what you're seeing now. What you're seeing now, it's the same MO, the same type of shooter between ages 18 to 29, loner, has access to become a marksman somehow, some way, but never, ever, nobody ever knows how that happened. They're able to carry something like that out. And so you get to see the same MO over and over again. These incidences at all the schools were, let me just put it this way. In the last 2 decades, they compounded the numbers, but the reason the numbers went higher is because, or around that same high rate, is because they would say if it was within school area. So anything like a mile away from the school would be considered an incident at the school. It doesn't make sense at all, but they would count just as many as they could possibly count. Things that happened at night. There was a couple of those incidences that happened in the evening where it was somebody targeting somebody who wasn't even a student at the school, not even a student at the school, somebody visiting the school, things like that. But they would say this was a school shooting. So the school shooting I would say, definition got very, very, very broad without anybody really realizing it in the last two decades, especially this last decade, of course. This last decade, since they passed the Smith-Mundt Act, Obama did that in 2012, that was the new law. So the Smith-Mundt Act of the 40s used to say that we could propagandize to foreign countries about what was going on. Now, Smith-Mundt Act, as of 2012 by Obama, was changed to say that the news could legally lie to you. The news could legally say things to you they knew were not true, propagandize to you, and they would never be held accountable for that domestically. There's something really, really wrong with that. These school shootings, like I said, these weren't shootings. They were incidences of a gun at school or somebody accidentally shot through something, and they called it a school shooting in Wikipedia. They would go back and call it a school shooting when it really wasn't a shooting like we see now. Now we see somebody go in and children end up dead and staff members end up dead, and that's what we're told in the news. But that never happened before. Before those last over two decades, that never happened before. Very, very strange. So I always look at these kinds of things because I'm always a little perplexed. When we saw the tapes of Uvalde, I had the same questions, actually, the same questions about the fact that, wait a second, there's no coroners, there's no kids being transported. Where's all that footage? I wasn't left with questions after Columbine, because you could see the footage taking place. They had helicopters up. You could see all the students leaving. You could see them trying to escape. You understood what was happening. But in this, they show pictures of a random ambulance just sitting there with no action going on, telling you that this took place, but nothing actually happening on the ground. That really bothers me for some reason. There's no timeline to view, only that it's just a giant mystery. That's really strange. And we should demand more answers. Wouldn't that be helpful? I mean, if you were at a school, wouldn't that be helpful to know? I would think one would want to know the answers to those questions. Nothing seems to be shaking out. So I have to bring these there because, you know, we have to ask these questions. We have to get these answers. When it doesn't make sense, something's off, something's wrong. And so in the Uvalde situation, they had no coroners. They had no way to transport all those kids. In fact, on Facebook, during the actual shooting, the administration on Facebook at the particular school said everything was great. There was something going on in the neighborhood, but everything at the school was just perfect. That was 10 minutes in. So, you know, you don't see any of the action happening. You don't see any of the things going on when we have 24/7 cell phones on us. We've got all kinds of ways to document things, but we're not seeing any of those things. These things are kind of carefully chosen to show the public, which I'm always going to ask more questions. Of course, hearts go out to any victims. Hearts go out to anybody involved in a situation, a random situation like this, and it's so unbelievably hard. At the same time, where's all the footage? Where is everything? In Uvalde, what the big focus went to the cops. The cops not doing anything, and all of a sudden, they had teams, government teams in there on site for some unknown reason, ready to do all the action, and the local cops were the ones villainized. In this, they passed out this body cam footage quickly, and the cops are being hailed as heroes. Remember, there's no timestamp on the bottom of that body cam footage. Why not? Where's the timestamp? Where's the running timestamp so we can see? Very strange. But I bring this to your attention because obviously they didn't want the focus, I don't think, to be on the cops. They wanted the focus to be on the victims. In this case, now it's the cops did every single thing right. They walked right in, got the perpetrator. Perpetrator was just standing there, not hiding or anything, and they gunned the perpetrator down. Okay. That seems pretty simple and just textbook. But that's my question. It's strange. It's kind of strange. And so still today, I'm still wondering about all these things, these questions that haven't been answered. No one can answer them. No one can show footage like the kind of footage I'm asking for, the questions that I have about the kids. Where's all the pictures of the 600 kids at the school? What happened? Everybody should be asking questions. We can go back in time and see incidences. You're always going to have incidences of everything, of everything. But things changed in the last two decades. Why? How did they change? What do we have now? What do we see now? What are we told now? As opposed to those incidences. Those incidences didn't even make the news. Hardly at all. Now they do, 24/7. So of course we need to ask better questions. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I'm just, those questions are still out there, ready to be answered, not answered yet, a couple days later. And I would like to see those answers actually happen. I'm Kate Daly, your guest host for the hour, Alex Jones Show. Thanks for tuning in. And just questions.